Directors meeting for the Oceana Community Service District, December 9th, 2009. Roll call, please. Here.
Vice President Hill.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Director Dean.
Here.
Director Lucy.
Here.
Please rise and join me in saluting our flag. Ready. Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items not on the agenda. And please, let's try to keep our comments to 3 minutes.
Good evening, board. My name is Dr. Nell Langford, and I would like to again commend you for your stand to not sell the Oceano Dunes property that is owned by the County of San Luis Obispo for off-roading. And I would further like to commend you for wanting to purchase it. Do you remember those days when we thought we could do that? Why not try it again? Well, one reason is we're broke. And since we're out of money even in our reserve funds, and since there's a lot of rumors out there that we're squandering our money, I would like to go on record as supporting a forensic audit of the books. And that will clear the air and possibly clean up enough stuff so that we can purchase that land. That would be my ulterior motive, besides keeping my water bill down. The other thing that I want to talk to you tonight about is the reason that we should purchase that land. There will be a study released within the next week, and some of you already know about it, that has found, through very scrutinous scientific research, that air pollution downwind that is threatening to the health of people in Napomo is linked to off-roading. This study is being opposed by some of your counterparts who want to keep the dunes open so that they can profit from it because they believe studies that were not scrutinized that claimed that it brings in $200 million a year to our county's economy. Sheer bunk. We subsidize the off-highway vehicle division of California State Parks and Recreation and the ODSVRA. This town, this Oceano area where we all work, live, and have businesses, should play a more active role in what happens here. It should actually benefit us. We should stop subsidizing it. All the money goes to the state or to just a few people who have businesses out there who are making a mint. I mean, how would you like it if one or two people were making millions and everybody else was losing, and they say the average is...
Thank you.
It's Nina Grabiel, Oceano. This is a declaration of failures and call for the immediate dismissal of the administrative assistant of Oceano Community Services District and support of recall of district directors who oppose it. In view of the fact that in recent months it has come to the public's knowledge that, one, since the district's inception, and until very recently, like within like a month or so, cash has been received by the OCSD front desk without any method of securing those cash payments from theft, meaning there has been no safe to ensure that those funds that people bring in to pay their bills are not somehow disappearing in the wind. Number two, actual check numbers do not match the check numbers given to the board on the warrant list, thus making tracking virtually impossible. Number three, checks for large sums of monies have been issued, but oddly enough, not cashed. And no follow-up has been reported to the auditor despite their request in regards to these matters. I find that very odd, especially in today's economy. I would think that people would be cashing those checks. That doesn't sound right. Something's weird there. Number four, the district is behind in its annual audits, and information requested by the auditor has repeatedly not been provided. Number five, checks have been issued without any warrants. And I don't think that's appropriate protocol. Number six, warrants have been issued without invoices. That seems very odd also. Number seven, information regarding annual budgets have not been provided to the Board of Directors in a timely manner, thus having them to operate without an approved budget for months. And I want to say that with a district as small as this, I just don't see how that, what's the logic in that? I don't even see how that can come about. Number eight, especially with someone who's been here as long as our current administrative assistant has been, this should just be regular run-of-the-mill protocol. Number eight, it has been found that for Director Dahl's 1099s, 3 of 6 years were corrected, but the numbers don't add up to what the warrants show as being paid, and the numbers reported on the 1099s are below what the warrants actually add up to. So that's very odd. Somebody doesn't know how to count. Number nine, cell phones paid by the district have not been reported on 1099s. Number 10, 1099s for 2008 reportedly cannot be found. That's really strange. It's not that long ago. Number 11, the district, I find this amazing. The district incurred IRS fines and penalties in 2005 with no report of it made to the Board of Directors. Number 12, a penalty was paid to the IRS in June 2009 by overpaying the quarterly payroll tax instead of reporting it as a separate line item to be approved by the Board of Directors and appropriately disclosed on public records. Now, why not? Why are we doing things this way? Number 13, it was reported to the Board of Directors that the district's umbrella insurance policy was being canceled, when in fact, what was not reported was that the district's entire liability insurance policy is being canceled effective January 2010. So what's up with that? Why can't we just have an administrative assistant who can report things truthfully? Number 14, repeated requests by the public and members of the Board of Directors for an update of the reserve accounts were not provided for several months. And now we're hearing that, what, there's nothing in them or something? I'm not sure what's going on with those. Number 15, department budgets have not been reported on a monthly basis, thus making it virtually impossible for any department to know the status of their budget on a monthly basis. They have no choice but to, on behalf of the people of Oceano, call for the immediate dismissal of the current administrative assistant and support the immediate recall of Oceano Community Services District's Board of Directors or any director who supports the administrative assistant by using the privilege of their office to oppose and or obstruct such dismissal. I just find this to be a very bad report card. And if you're going to keep someone with this kind of report card on salary, you better come up with a really good excuse. Thank you.
Thank you, Nina. Any other public comment?
Carol Henson, Oceano. I'd just like to say that, I've been very perplexed and frustrated with the meetings that I've been coming to. I quit coming for a while because it did appear that the board of directors were not all working in conjunction in a uniform way to try to work for the best of the district of Oceano. And it seemed to me that there was more conflict and personal agendas within the board than there was a genuine desire to further the needs and the future of Oceano. And I do believe that these things that have been brought forth today are very, very troubling. And I also agree that the board members should be wholeheartedly wanting to do a forensic audit to clear the air and get this district moving forward again for the taxpayers of Oceano and for the community. Today I took a drive around Oceano, drove up and down the streets. Oceano, while everyone is trying to obstruct fact-finding of the truth and things that have been hidden on the agendas and trying to manipulate through their office avoidance of public disclosure of certain events, this district is going to hell. There are vacant lots, there are homes, there are tumbleweeds, and it looks like some backwater little town on the border of Calexico somewhere. And while everyone's worrying about all of these things, trying to hide whatever's going on, this community is really suffering for it. Thank you.
Any other public comment?
Now, I'm Larry Bross, a 40-year owner of over 40-year property on the Strand in Oceano, and a resident for over 20 years. I'm kind of a newcomer here. I'm here to support the two members of the board, and I'm going to call them by name, Mary Hill, Jim, who have been fighting over the last months to wake us up. The one thing we did do that was good, we've got Raphael. He's on the job. But, he has to have a board that's responsible. And the majority of this board have been irresponsible. Even though people are pointing it out to them, they continue, month after month, putting us into the red, not making any real changes. We need change. We need leadership. There's no question about it. And I have to disagree with this lady who looks around and sees us like Calexico. I think that Oceano has the greatest potential. I mean, I moved to the Central Coast, and we're on the coast. We've got water, even though we're making big mistakes. I want to point out this letter. This gentleman sent the letter, and I think the board has a copy of it. I'm going to read it to you, because the way this board wants to, at least the majority of this board, wants to solve our problems is by selling our greatest resources to Royal Grande. That's how they're going to make up the difference. In reviewing of the agenda, I'm reading for the letter, and this, by the way, was from Jeff Edwards. Jeff Edwards wanted to be on the agenda today. He was not allowed to be on the agenda. The president did not allow him on the agenda. In reviewing the agenda for tomorrow night's meeting, I'm going to... residential units, the water and sewer will serve the letter in question of projected reductions, state water deliveries, and potential seawater intrusion. It is unclear if any long-term benefits to the district and the community of Oceana would be realized from delivering the water to outside customers. It appears those adjacent municipalities that require additional water supplies to facilitate development within their jurisdictional boundaries should be procured on their own accord. In summary, I urge the board to deny the water and sewer will serve application and at a minimum postpone the consideration. He points out that until LAFCO has approved the matter, that this is illegal, that LAFCO has to approve it first. And that's how this board is going to try to balance our budget. You ought to resign.
Thank you, Larry. Can I ask that AGP come turn the lights on?
The mics are on. You just have to turn them on at the dial set right there, that little switch. Is yours isn't working? Let's
see. I never needed a mic, but...
Test, 1, 2.
Yours might not be working.
There test, 1, 2.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Larry. Madam President, can we ask right now for things to be added to the next agenda? Wait until after public comment?
Wait until you have a new president, which will be
soon.
Probably 5 minutes. Ryan, did you want to address the last public comment? I'm seeing an email here.
Yeah, no.
Is legal counsel commenting to public comments legal versus the board
did
asking
you get one
questions?
Of these?
So is it on the agenda? I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
Passed out to everybody, and it goes along with the letter from Mr. Edwards.
He is on the agenda. Under item 11G.
Okay.
He could probably save it until then.
All right. I don't care. It's fine.
I just don't want to cut into the public's time.
Okay. Is there any other public comment? Don't see any other public comment. I'm sorry I didn't see your hand.
That's okay. My name's Jerry Bedell, and I have a property in Oceano. And I just want to approach the board from a viewpoint of somebody that has to balance a checkbook on a monthly basis. I'm kind of an old-fashioned kind of person. And so when there's something not quite right, I go back and try to find it to the penny. I'm a little bit obsessive, I guess. And so I would hope that this board would take the time and the opportunity to have an audit, to review the books, and to clear your name and to clear the air so that everyone can move forward in a very positive way. And I think that from my own perspective, I have to do that on a monthly basis, and I hope that you might take this opportunity to do that as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment?
Patricia Duran from Napomo. My concern here is the new study that's come out from the Pollution Control Board, where it shows that Napomo is the direct result of the pollution. The air pollution from Napomo is from these Oceano Dunes, the OHV. And I'm just hoping that you guys, in the light of what's happening in Copenhagen, in the light of global warming, in the light of what we're doing with our fossil fuel resources, if that we would act responsibly for our public health to put an end to this or put a moratorium so that we can really experience, you know, the health for the people of Napomo and this whole Central Coast. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hello. My name is Michael Okerblom.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your name.
My name is Michael Okerblom. And I had a question for you, Barbara Mann.
Yes.
Do you object to an audit performance being happening?
No, as a matter of fact, I don't.
Do you object to an audit, Jim Hill?
No, not at all.
Does anybody on this board object to the performance of an audit?
No.
Then why isn't it on the agenda today?
It is on the agenda.
Okay, I apologize. My main concern coming here was I'm from Napomo, and we have an airport.
12, which is the discussion regarding the forensic audit, to do that before we have our election, or can it be moved to be immediately after the election?
I think it can probably be either.
Okay.
We'll get the board to approve it.
All right. Would the board agree to us moving item 12 up right now?
I agree.
Pamela?
Yeah.
Jim?
Yes.
Vern?
I have no preference.
Mary?
I just see it as a political move, so whatever you want to do.
Well, we've got an audit.
Whether it's before the election or after the election. However you want to do it.
I just wanted to see that this was done.
I know,
under your
term.
If you don't mind.
But let's just call it what it is. Come on now.
Okay.
You know.
Yes. Jim, you were the one who wanted this item on it, so why don't you present it?
I've asked for a forensic audit because a number of things have come to my attention that seem particularly odd to me. Foremost among those is the fact that the district uses a number. One would have to be familiar with the checks that are issued by the district to understand the substance of my concern, but our checks are printed, and the magnetic clearing number that's written by the bank appears in the lower left-hand corner of all checks. That number also appears on the stub that's given to the person. It's a two-part check and stub. However, the number that the district uses on the warrants that's printed in on the top of the check as check number is not that same number. And that leads to confusion whether the actual check number, the number that's used by the bank, is being reported, or whether some other number that may be very difficult to trace to that check is being recorded. And over the last 9 months, in order to try to figure out what was going on, I had to make up a spreadsheet, which is a typical Excel spreadsheet if you're used to seeing it printed out, multi-pages, showing district warrant numbers versus check numbers. And there are, even though the board has asked that any time a check be voided, that it be reported on the warrants, there's a number of checks that may have been voided that were never reported to the board. Typically, this happens at the beginning and end of a payroll run. I found checks that were issued and apparently not cashed. Our auditors have told us that one of our problems is that we have long outstanding checks that no one's followed up on, even though one of our responses to the auditor indicated that we would be following up on checks that were more than 6 months old. It appears to me that warrants have been issued that checks have been issued that don't have a corresponding warrant number in some cases. And just due to the general irregularities with the fact that the numbers that's printed on the check by the district vice the number that's actually the bank clearing number, and it's so confusing that even one of the bank statements that we get from the bank shows this is an interim and not a final month statement, but it showed pending, a pending check being cashed, and it was one of the director's paychecks. And the number that was printed by the district showed, and then it showed as pending being cashed. Well, on the interestingly enough, the number that shows as pending is the number that's typed in on the by the district. And if you look at a check, you don't give it any thought that it might be a different number than the clearing number that the bank uses. That was corrected, obviously, when the final bank statement for the month came out. That even the bank took a check and just glanced at the number that's typed in by OCSD and showed that number being pending, check being cashed. I understand that Raphael has taken steps to try to assure that we've either tied the check numbers and the warrant numbers together or, even better, to make the check numbers and the warrant numbers match. And I think that's an important partial step forward. But for a long time, it's been virtually impossible for us as directors to know that we're seeing upfront bookkeeping like that. The district's quarterly payroll taxes were overpaid, and then the IRS apparently deducted the fines out of the overpayment. And so the board and the public are not informed about what's going on. So those are two samples of some items that I found. I'm also very concerned with a number of the things that our auditors have told us in the management letter to date, preceding Raphael's employment. I've not seen those comments from the auditors being taken seriously. I think typically in the past, what the district has done is issued a perfunctory statement, oh yeah, we agree with the auditor's assessment and we'll follow up. But that has basically not happened. And in some cases, we've even stated, oh, this is a one-year problem. We've already corrected it. It's not an issue. And then you look back to the prior audit letter and you see the exact same thing. Cash handling in the district is one of the things that the auditors have brought to our attention, that our cash handling procedures are irregular in that we don't have separation of duties. So that, again, the district has promised to take corrective action, and we've not done it until Mr. Montemurro came on, and we now have, as Nina mentioned, we now have a safe. And we are modifying our cash handling procedures at long last. So what I'm asking for is that the district consider doing a forensic audit for the year 2008-2009 fiscal year. That audit has, the standard audit has not yet been performed. We are still completing our 2007-2008 standard audit. I understand that we may have a draft of that this evening, but that audit, our previous interim general manager assured us that that would be done by November. It's already another month overdue, and it's still years behind. I think it's time that we find out what is going on with our finances, that we establish a baseline that we can agree to and move forward, rather than innuendo and rumor and things that just look very strange, and our inability to come up with reasonable numbers. I am fundamentally committed to properly accounting for the public's money. That's our fundamental responsibility here as directors, is to make sure that the public's money is properly accounted for and spent on beneficial projects for the public. No other reason. That's our primary responsibility as directors. And I think that it's imperative that we do a forensic audit, understand where our money is, and that we can establish a baseline to move forward.
I wholeheartedly agree with Vice President Hill that we do need the audit. I've said that in the finance meeting and to this board asking for an investigation, because you need to clear the air. If there's something wrong, it needs to come out, and if there is nothing wrong, it needs to come out. The rumors have got to stop. I agree that we need to have it, and I think the plans, the recommendation probably from the Finance Committee was to ask our auditor if he could do the forensic audit when he does the regular audit, and I'm sure our general manager is going to tell us what the auditor told him on that.
Madam President, I'd like to speak in favor of Jim Hill's motion when he makes it, but I also would like to add a couple things to why we had an audit. You know, I too balance my checkbook. I guess it's a little quirky thing. But, you know, the people of Oceano, they elected me onto this board in November. And I understand, you know, short staffing and everything, but under the leadership, the current leadership and the current staff, I was only recently added to the checking account to be able to go and see what's happening with our taxpayers' dollars. And it was the new general manager who actually added me to the checking account. So there's a bank account. So what I fear for now is that for the first year here, what I heard from directors when not moving forward was just wait till the new GM comes on, just wait till the new GM comes on. Well, when the new general manager comes on, we'll do this. We'll do A, B, and C. Just let the new general manager make those decisions. This is my fear right now, is that this audit is going to happen, and we're going to have three board members who show retaliation against the general manager. And we're going to lose a good general manager who actually knows how to use a calculator. It's amazing. You know, so I'm afraid of retaliation. And I just because it's not on the agenda, we all know how things happen. And so as a community, as we do trace our dollars and find out why so many checks are voided, why 1099s are not accurate, please keep in mind is that we have a general manager who's under contract, and it only takes three votes from this board to eliminate a very, very good person. And so I was one of those people who supported him, and he's moved a lot of this forward. And so I want the community to be aware of that, too. So.
Okay, Pamela, you want to address the audit?
I have a couple of questions because I wasn't at the Finance Committee meeting, and I also need to tell people what a forensic audit is. I had to look it up to see exactly what we're asking for. And there are several definitions. It says it's an application of accounting methods to the tracking and collection of forensic evidence, usually for investigation and prosecution of criminal acts such as embezzlement or fraud, also called forensic accounting. The purpose of forensic audits are often conducted to calculate damages caused as a result of negligence or deliberate costs, and forensic audits may be done in anticipation of litigation or trial process.
Right.
So that is what the Finance Committee is asking for. They have found, you're saying that you have found aberrations other than, you know, we have a lot of things going on with our accounting process. We have a dinosaur of an accounting system. We should have changed that accounting system out 10 years ago. It's from 1985.
You're on board.
Pamela, anything else?
Let her finish.
Because I did run on that. It has been a very upsetting time because we haven't had a general manager for long enough to get ahead with things. Audits being behind is a sure cause of something going on in the district. There's no stability in this district. Mary says that there will be retaliation. My gosh, we only have seen Raphael on here, and we've welcomed him with open arms for a couple of months, and she's saying we're going to retaliate against him. The poor man hasn't even had time to hit the ground running, and we're getting threatened. The other board members are being threatened with retaliating against our new general manager. I just want everybody to know, I think a forensic audit has to clear the air because of all the innuendos, the allegations, and all the stuff out there, and nobody knows what's going on, including us and including the people in the district. However, there is a cost to this. There is a cost because when you put your effort into this, that means that other items in the district are going to not get done. We just don't have the people to do it. So things that are going on, the accounting system will take back burner. The rate study, hopefully we can get on with a rate study. There are saltwater intrusion problems, and people have mentioned the particulate study. Those are real, real crushing things that are coming down on us. So I want everybody to know that when we take the step to do this, whatever the cost is, there's going to be more cost because there will be hours of employee time put into this. But I see no other course except to do this because it should have happened. We should have changed the accounting system. When I came into office, that was one of the things. I've been coming to meetings since 2001. I've been hearing the audits reports, and they are always the same. It hasn't changed since 2001. So it
and myself and the accusations of who is, you know, tax and so of staff has come from more from the people that are accusing the retaliation than it has from anyone that would retaliate that I could think of. As far as the audit is concerned, forensic audit, personally I think it's going to be a waste of money in this sense, other than the fact I'm going to support it. Okay, first off, okay, please don't interrupt me or talk over me while I'm talking. It's not easy to keep the thought going and communicate what I need to communicate to you and the rest of you if you keep talking during the time that I'm talking. So please refrain from your comments until afterwards. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to support this, and mostly just to get the air cleared. But it's, you know, you got to understand this is going to cost anywhere from probably around $10 to $40 per household on the average to do this thing. And you know, a number of these things that are questions on here are not necessarily the big problems they've been made out to be. And some of them have explanations as well. Some of these accusations against administrative assistants, they aren't even in her jurisdiction or her realm of what she does.
The director speak, please.
I think that's all I'm going to address toward this. Thank you.
Okay. Director Mann, I'd like to say something. I didn't mean to, you know, when I mentioned retaliation, I was just meant things like, I don't think there's a project in this town that will go without because of an audit, you know, and for Pamela Dean to sit there and say that I would retaliate or something against the GM and then turn around and say, well, we're not going to be able to deal with saltwater intrusion, and we're not going to be able to do with this, and we're not going to be able to deal with that because of a forensic audit. I don't think that was a very good example, in my humble opinion, because I think that we will immediately begin to save what's left. And do I personally think there's malicious spending or whatever? I don't know because I don't have enough financial information. I barely got into my name put on the bank account. You know, I've never been asked to sign a check except for once. So I have no idea, but I hope in my heart that it's not that way. I hope that our missing dollars most likely have gone into penalties and fines and late fees and, you know, overpaying this, underpaying that. What I would like to know is that why so many of one director's checks are voided out and not reissued, things like that. An audit can give us a rational answer to, instead of having to jump to conclusions. So, you know, I just asked Director Hill to call the question because I'm very much in support of knowing where every single dollar of ours is spent.
Right now, I'm still sitting here. Public comment on this? Yes.
I was going to ask, he said that that it's going to cost people in Oceano $10 to $20 per household. That seems wildly inaccurate to me. Does anybody else have an opinion about what the average cost per household would be?
General Manager, would you like to answer that question?
Actually, I've taken liberty of making some figures up myself that might help to explain that with Raphael's permission. I didn't want to bring anything to the board that I didn't understand the costs of, and I've estimated the cost of a forensic audit at being approximately $20,000. And I've heard from Raphael and others that that's a reasonable, probably a high estimate. A regular audit would cost about $5,000. We're going to pay that anyway, and I'm asking for a forensic audit for a year that has not yet been audited. So that's a cost that we'll save by doing a forensic audit. So the net cost to the district would be about $15,000. We have a little more than 2,160 accounts in the district. Comes out to $6.94 per account. So on a monthly basis, it works out to 55 cents per account.
And it's really getting old.
Okay, roll call, please. Well, I need a motion.
I got a question first.
Oh, a question?
Raphael, how much did you quote me as a possible range of cost of forensic audit?
Well, Director Dahl, the thing with the cost of a forensic audit is two things. One, you know, it depends on how long it takes.
Mm-hmm.
But two, you know, the timing that we're asking makes the cost extremely affordable. And the reason is because the economist in me says you have to refer to as what's referred to as the opportunity cost of doing business. Now, even if you did not do a forensic audit, for example.
Okay.
I
understand all the extra stuff, but I'm just trying to answer the accusation that's been made here. And basically, I'm just trying to reconfirm that you gave me this wide range.
I told you that, you know, I spoke with, I sent the same weekly letter to all the directors that I spoke with a CPA, a different auditor, not ours, and he said that, you know, he's done forensic audits between $2,000 and $14,000. Usually they're around $15,000.
Okay, that was not the information I remember hearing from you on the phone, but okay.
But what I was going to say was that we're comparing the cost of a forensic audit. We can't compare it to zero because we have a 3-year contract, so we would still pay for an audit for this year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I understand that.
And in the warrants here and in the checks, we wrote one to the auditor for the draft that I just received today. And with that, okay, to date, for the audit that is yet to be final, it's just a draft, we've spent $12,000 already.
Okay.
I would like to make a public comment regarding this forensic. Carol Henson, Oceano.
I think that there's a lot of talk here about clearing the air. And people are saying that there are accusations being made, And I think that the things that people are wanting addressed aren't accusatory. They're based on factual things that have come to light over the past several months that are being unanswered. I think what is the frustrating thing for the people that are of this community are that, as example, in the audit that's being conducted now, General Manager Raphael just stated that one of the expenses would be the length of the audit. That would cost more the longer the audit took. So with only that subject right now, I think what's concerning the people is that throughout the months that have been going by, the auditors continually have been asking for specific papers to do the audit and to complete the audit. And these papers that the auditor has needed so it doesn't drag out and they can conclude it have not been forthcoming. And it would seem that in a regular office and where your files and all of your records are kept, that it should be within the scope to imagine, even if there has been a change of general managers over time, that you could go to the files and produce these records, which aren't in cardboard boxes, hidden away in some vault, that they should be readily available in the office in some sort of file cabinet somewhere. And so I think what people are saying is that perhaps, you know, some of the duties have probably, you know, when the district was smaller and there was less going on, perhaps these duties were able to be managed by one or two people, but perhaps the scope of the responsibilities have exceeded the job description of the person that is taking care of these. And it seems like the problem is that every time someone wants to find something or asks for a record or wants to do some investigating or comparisons, that none of these things can be found are produced in an office who you have, you know, office managers and general administrative assistants who are supposed to have these things at their fingertips, and it takes weeks and months to produce these things. And things from 2008 can't be found. Maybe they'll show up 2 or 3 weeks later, or things from 2007 can't be found. I mean, the audit for 2007 is still incomplete.
From doing anything, the three members who have voted as a pact to stop anything, that's the responsibility.
Thank you.
Laid on three members, Mr. Dahl, Barbara Mann, and Pamela Dean.
Seeing no further comment, we will now have a motion.
I would move that the district's audit for the year 2008-2009 fiscal year be conducted as a forensic audit and authorize the general manager to determine a reasonable cost for that, solicit bids, and proceed with the audit.
I'll second that, or do you want to second that, Barbara?
Well, I would like to, being on the Finance Committee.
Of course.
And
you're asking.
Okay. Yes, you got that right, Mary. Yes, second. Roll call, please.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Luthy?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now we will proceed. We'll get back on line here. The board member election of new officers for 2010.
I'd like to nominate Mr. Jim Hill.
For president?
Yes.
Any other nominations?
I nominate Vern Dahl for president.
Okay. Hearing no other nominations.
I'll nominate Mary Lucy.
Okay. So we've got Jim, Mary, and Vern. Any other nominations? I'm not making one. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Madam President. The way to actually do this is to close nominations by motion.
Nominations are now closed. Now I can have the roll call vote for president.
No discussion?
What kind of discussion do you want, Mary?
Well,
do you want to
always have something to say?
Well, if you want to give a little speech to the other four members.
Well, yeah,
here.
I would like to give a speech, not just to the other members, but really to the community, is that, you know, there's something that stands out in my mind. And what stands out in my mind is that we were in the middle of a meeting about 2.5 months ago. And we were voting on the warrants, of course, and it turned into a poker party, you know, $85,000 and I'll raise you $20,000, you know, and it went up to like $165,000, okay? Now, Jim and I were just beside ourselves with no paperwork in front of us and hadn't had any for about 7 months. So, Director Dahl, Director Mann, and Director Dean voted to pass all that money without having the proper documentation in front of you. At that point, President Mann called a break. The three directors got up and walked out on the people of Oceano. They got up, they walked off the table, they didn't excuse themselves, they got in their cars, and they left. So, being the only two directors left, Director Hill and myself, I mean, we felt a little stupid sitting here at the table with no other directors around, but it sent an even a stronger message to me. It sent to me your loyalty to this community, your loyalty to the people. And what happens when there's a catastrophe? Are you guys going to be the first ones out the door?
Yes, we are.
So if you took part in walking out on the people of Oceano, I at least have the dignity not to run for office, not to imply that you can handle our finances, because that's insulting to some of us.
Vern, do you have a campaign speech?
No, I don't have one. Thank you.
Jim, do you have a campaign speech?
No campaign speech. I will note that I was distressed during the last time Director Dahl was president that he eliminated the public comment at the end of the meeting, which I think is a very important time for the public to give feedback to the directors on what went well and didn't go well during the meeting. And I can't support someone who would withhold public comment at the end of the meeting.
All right. Roll call now.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Wait,
I'm asking each one of the members who they are voting for.
Oh.
I'll vote for myself.
Director.
Thank you. At least at this point, I will open the nominations for Vice President.
We have a member missing.
All right. She went to the bathroom.
Okay, we'll take a brief recess. We have a member missing.
For it, yes.
You may have it.
Thank you, Barbara.
Very nice.
By the way,
I have nothing but this.
Yeah, thanks.
I just want you to know people have left your protest when you're about Barbara. And you know what? We're going to go on with this recall.
Hey, knock yourself out.
There'll be Barbara Mann and Mary Ball.
It's supposed to be me, too.
No, they love you.
No. Worst vote yet in the movie.
Just in case anything's fishing, you could have two glasses.
Oh, okay. You were prepared.
Burn.
All right, bring this back to order. Now open the nominations for Vice President.
I'd like to nominate Mary Lucy.
I nominate Pamela Dean.
Any more nominations?
I nominate Jim Hill.
Any more nominations? Any more nominations?
Move the nominations be closed.
Okay, any objections? Okay, nominations are now closed. Call for a vote, please.
Can I just go down? It's easier trying to remember. Director Dean?
I vote for myself.
Director Dahl?
Vote for Pamela Dean.
Director Mann?
Pamela Dean.
I think it's kind of clear what just happened, and I hope it's clear to the public, too, what just happened.
All right, moving on to item number 5, which is a closed session, and we do not have any tonight. This takes us on to item number 6, board member items for discussion. Mary? Director Lucy, do you have any items? Anything? Director Lucy, do you have any items for discussion?
Yeah, Director Dahl, you've numerously talked about how the board has gone in and verbally abused staff. And I just want you to know that there was a report made to my office this week that you were abnormally loud yelling at our GM, and I would ask that if that's to happen, that you at least take it behind closed doors and have a discussion, but not have it to where people out in the parking lot could hear this interaction.
Did you have that in any inclination that I was...
I never spoke to the man.
I don't remember you yelling at me.
Okay, I don't remember it either.
So if you yelled at me, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't either. It's not not my normal demeanor. Is that all?
Yes.
Okay, Director Mann?
As of December 31st will be my last day as a director of Oceano Community Service District. I had 10 great years, one horrible year, and I don't intend to sit here and be abused any longer and lied about and accused of things that I didn't do or that I didn't say. So I hope that when you appoint or elect a new person, it will be to the likings of the public, certainly, and that I wish the board well. You have a lot of problems. If I were still here, we would have a lot of problems with water, saltwater intrusion. I think that's one of the biggest problems we have. I also think raising the rates, that's going to be something that you're really going to have to struggle with. And but I am glad, and the reason that I asked for the forensic audit to be moved up, because I did want to be on record of feeling that that was necessary. As Jim Hill fully knows, that I was on the same page with him on that, and I kind of don't like when people insinuate that I wasn't. But so my last day as a director of Oceano Community Service District will be December 31st, 2009.
Director Hill.
Well, Barbara, first of all, I want to thank you for your service to the community over the years and your service as president. And you did always express to me support for a forensic audit, so that is much appreciated. On another note, I'd like to make an announcement that this Saturday, that's December 11th, 2009, in Los Osos, at the Los Osos Community Center, which is just off Los Osos Valley Road, the Needs and Wishes program to benefit the Maxine Lewis Homeless Shelter will be taking place. This is a great event. They have it every year in Los Osos. It is the primary fundraising event for the Maxine Lewis Homeless Shelter. And anybody who's been in this area in the last couple of days knows how cold it is out there. The Maxine Lewis Shelter provides warm accommodations at night for people that otherwise would not have that. And this is, again, their primary fundraiser. It's a lot of fun to go there. I've been there every year since the inception. They have silent auctions. They have good food and camaraderie, singing and presentations. It's just a lot of fun. So I would urge everyone to please go out there to Los Osos, again, at the Los Osos Community Center. It's 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. this Saturday. And they'd love to see you out there. I'll guarantee that you'll have a good time. And again, this is the primary fundraiser for the Maxine Lewis Homeless Shelter, so please support that. Thank you.
Long and hard, very hard, I know. But thank you, and we appreciate you being there.
Yeah, Barbara, I'd like to also thank you. You're our senior board member. You have a lot of knowledge and understanding of all the different inner workings of the district. You've served us for a long time on LAFCO. You've given us that voice there, which has been a very positive help to the community to have that voice with LAFCO. You're, you know, you understand the stuff that's going on, and it's going to be sad to see you go, as it always is with seeing people leave that have gone through the time and the effort and the energy to learn and know and understand all this stuff and what's going on, and you always replace, you know, people with a lot of knowledge with people that have to learn it all, and your decisions have been sound and great, and I appreciate the time you've given to this community.
Thank you. I might just state that your LAFCO representative will be from Napomo. He's the alternate.
Okay.
So he will move up.
Thank you. Okay. Public comment? Okay, hearing none. Move to review and approval minutes. Item number 7A is the October 28th, 2009 minutes. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, bringing it back to the board. Any discussion? Any questions, comments? Okay.
Move approval of the October 28th minutes as presented.
Second.
You were absent that day, Barbara.
Oh. Sorry.
That's all right.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Abstains?
One.
Okay. And that passes on a 4-0 vote with one abstention. Okay. Approval of minutes of November 11th. Any public comment on these? Okay. General Manager.
Director Dahl, it's been brought to my attention that on the November 11th minutes, page 2, paragraph 5, there's a typo. It says that it was motion by Director Dean and seconded by Director Dahl. Well, Director Dahl was out of town, so that's incorrect. I was made aware of that today, and we're in the process of finding out who did second the motion. If the board knows, I would appreciate, and then otherwise we'll have to look it up. Mm-hmm. But we will make the adjustments and correct this and resubmit it at the next meeting. Okay. Does anyone know who made the second?
I don't remember on this one.
Second on the minutes?
Yeah.
On the warrants, I'm sorry. Anybody recall?
That's all right. We'll play back the tape and we'll find out.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
you. So November 11th minutes are tabled until the next meeting. Okay, this moves us on to item number 8. 8A is the Commander Brian Haskell from the Sheriff's South Station, who has so patiently been sitting here and waiting to give his presentation. We thank you for your patience.
Certainly. It was probably a good idea I was here anyway.
Yes.
Brian Haskell, Commander of the Sheriff's Department South Station. Just a couple of items to bring up tonight. On December 5th at about 11 in the morning, one of my deputies who was working saw a gentleman by the name of Jesus Rio Perez, age 26, a resident of Grover Beach, driving a white Chevy pickup at the corner of 24th Street and Ocean. He attempted to stop the vehicle for a vehicle code violation, and Perez refused to stop. This led to a small pursuit that went basically around the block and ended up back where they started, where he got out of the vehicle and was eventually taken into custody. He had several outstanding warrants for his arrest and also possession of marijuana for sales inside the vehicle, and he was also arrested for evading or attempting to evade a peace officer. The other things that I have to talk about are basically holiday safety tips, since Christmas is coming rapidly here. One of the things that we're concerned about is people leaving valuables in their cars when they're out shopping in plain sight. That quite often leads to somebody coming along and either breaking into the vehicle or the vehicle's unlocked and sign for them, and that way you don't have to worry about these items disappearing off your front doorstep. Last item was kind of interesting. I heard about it, and then I saw a piece on the news that involves gift cards. Those are very popular. we have individuals who will go into stores and grab gift cards off the rack and scrape off the PIN number and then write down the account number and the PIN number off the back of the card for later reference. So what happens is people come in, they see the card, they buy it, and they don't realize that the numbers have already been taken down by someone. And all the person that has the numbers has to do is call the company and say, hey, has this card been activated yet? When they say yes, they go online and they spend the money on the card. So then you give somebody a card as a gift and it's already gone. It's amazing. There are so many ways people scam other people on stuff, credit cards, everything. The trick is check the back of the card, make sure the PIN number has not been scratched, that the cover that you take off with the coin is still secure, and then you'll know that that card hasn't been treated that way by somebody.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
So in those situations where you find that someone's gone in your mailbox and stole, you know, checks from credit card companies and stuff like that, what do you do with the information after that? Where do you go with it? How do you get it worked through the system? Say, for example, someone steals all my gift cards.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens?
Well, hopefully you have a receipt for purchasing the gift cards, and you can call the company and cancel them out. And if they're a good company, they'll reissue new cards to you. Okay. As far as the checks being stolen from one of your credit cards, you need to call the credit card company and have those canceled so that nobody can use them, and do that as soon as possible.
Yeah, a lot of times they'll want a police report or a police action,
mm-hmm.
you know, in order to validate that this happened. So how do people go about getting that followed up through?
Well, as you know, we investigate those types of crimes, and when they occur, we need somebody to call if the jurisdiction in which they live, whether it's Grover Beach Police or Rio Grande Police or the Sheriff's Department, we can take a report and follow up on it and try to backtrack, find out who it was that took them and where that person is, and then hopefully we can make an arrest and successful prosecution in the case.
Thank you.
And that's all I've got this evening, if anybody else has any questions.
As always, it's always very helpful.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commander.
Appreciate you coming and waiting so long to give your report. Okay. This takes us to item number 8B, which is a oral presentation or report from the administration, and I'd ask everybody to hold their questions till after the report is finished. Thank you.
Hey, during the month of November, we did the usual WILSER fee and fire safety plan letters for a couple of projects in the district. And while development in Oceano is slow, we do still have people calling in and asking questions about the district procedures and how to get started with the WILSER process. On November 18th, 134 utility billing door hangers were hung, and 22 services were then discontinued for outstanding balances on November 23rd. The water meters were read during the week of November 16th, and thanks to the help of Sharon Nakarati, our programmer, who spent a lot of time with us since there was nobody left in the office who has ever done anything with utility billing. She sat down with Carol Ann and did a terrific job of piecing things together so that they could do the preliminary entry of account changes and adjustments, verifying that all the high and low reads after we got the reads in were correct, and making adjustments if there was a change in them, and ultimately transmitting the data to DataPros for the printing. The utility bills were mailed on December 2nd. Considering everything that had to be done, the process went quite smoothly, and hopefully in 2 months when we do it again, the process will be fresh in their minds and it will go a little quicker.
Staff assisted with the agenda preparation for the fire committee and the regular OCSD board meetings, composed and completed routine correspondence for the various departments, and prepared regular and firefighter payrolls and related reports. In addition, the requested documents were given to the auditor. Requests for repairs were submitted to PG&E on various street lights, and the monthly nitrate and selenium reports were processed for the utility operations supervisor. The letter to the grand jury was finalized, and the LAFCO directory information was updated.
By the fire department. General Manager, would you care to give this report since there's no one here? I have it. Thank you, Jim.
We had a committee meeting for fire on Tuesday, and the chief was here as well. We talked about some stuff that they're going to try to buy some apparatus from a new form of funding. Chief Leathers gave the report versus last year, and our calls are up. We had 700, well, we had 23, there were 61 calls in the month of November, okay? 23 were in Oceano, 14 were in Grover Beach, 12 were in Arroyo Grande, and 10 were Cal Fire, and 2 were on the beach. Of the 23 Oceano calls, 16 were EMS related, 5 fire, 5 miscellaneous calls, and this puts the total at 733, and last year at this time it was 706. And we talked about looking into, I've provided the board with a copy. The chief had some new information that he received from the county saying that it was like a legal opinion that there's a possibility that some fees that in the past that we thought we could only spend on a certain item that can also be spent on something else. So we're looking into it, and that's I provided each board member with a copy of that information. And that was the basic the Captain Leather shared with us, like the emblems. We talked about how the joint fire departments are going. The chief had a very good comment he shared with President Barb and said that they're going to try to bring the presentation to this board first to approve for the joint fire to go forward in July and then to go to the other two boards after. So we're working on that. And that concludes the report from the fire committee and the fire department.
Okay.
President,
excuse me, not yet.
For Dahl, I have my hand up.
I understand. I'll get to you in a moment.
You have to respond to somebody to let them know you saw them.
Yes. Okay, that concludes the report.
Yes, sir.
Okay, is there any public comment on this report? Okay, bring it back to the board. Yes, Mary Lucy.
Raphael, was there any discussion regarding a lot of the legal fund, a lot of the banking for the legal was spent in working out the JPA and stuff. Was there any discussion around rectifying the legal expenses within the fire department before the separation?
No, ma'am. That legal fees didn't come up at all.
Okay. I would strongly encourage the accountant and the fire department to figure out how many hours have been taken from the bank for fire, and that those dollars be paid off, that amount be paid off before the separation, or at least even before. It really should be done at the beginning of the calendar year, but I don't know if I see that happening. But do you understand what I'm saying is that building the JPA took a lot of legal support. Okay?
They're still working on, you know, the
and
final.
As long as the fire funds are in-house, it's probably best to get those rectified while they're here. And if another director wants to speak on this, I'd be happy to turn it over to them. But at this point, I haven't seen any funds being put towards the legal from the fire fund.
Thank you.
I'll comment briefly, if I may.
Yes, please.
I agree with Mary that with the impending JPA forming at the beginning of the fiscal year and the fact that the district has a significant legal fee to pay, that it seems to me in our best interest to try to arrange to pay that before the JPA takes effect.
Okay.
So Director Dahl, is that an action item?
That's what I'm just thinking about.
Directive, or
that's what I'm thinking about how we do that. Did you vote on it at the last meeting? I wasn't here as far as what they wanted to. Were they going to go ahead and?
Appropriate to talk. I don't think there's anything inappropriate about discussing at that point.
Yeah, what I'm concerned about is a four-page agenda and time.
Yeah, well, if we all try to keep our comments to the minimum, we hopefully can get through this. Okay, anyone else have anything to say on the fire department report? Okay, moving on to item number 8D, report from the utility department.
There were no sewer system problems or failures reported during the month. However, we did spend a considerable amount of time repairing and replacing some sewer lines that serve the restroom for the village group down at the old fire station. There was one leak reported in the water system. We investigated and determined that it was a polybutylene service line. While we were repairing that problem, we noted there were two more polybutylene service lines in the same block. We decided to replace those lines as well while we were in the area. We believe it's preferable to replace a service line on our schedule than rather in the middle of the night sometime. Several reports were completed and submitted during the month. The Lopez treatment plant's working on a disinfection study. The study will take 2 to 3 months. In response to their request, we compiled a report on our past THM analyses results for the Oceana Water System. We also compiled a short report on the condition and production capacity of water production wells for the Wallace Group. And other reports completed during the month included annual water production report for the County Public Works Department, and we submitted the nitrate selenium report to the state. Other jobs completed during October were routine service orders, maintenance on district vehicles, collecting weekly system samples, preparing will serve letters, and one of the district's antique streetlights was demolished. Foundation and all, when a van ran into it, we are working on replacing that streetlight. The district produced 71.75 acre-feet of water during October. This was calculated as 50 acre-feet of state project water, 21.04 acre-feet of Lopez, and we pumped 0.71 acre-feet of groundwater. The total amount of water produced in October 2009 was 10.3% less than was produced in September 2009, and it was 14.6% less than was produced 1 year ago in October. That's all I have.
Thanks, Phil.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thank you. Are there any public comment on this report? Okay, bring it back to the board. Anybody have any questions or comments on this? Phil, who's going to end up paying for that streetlight?
We have got a card from the CHP, and we'll bill the person that ran into it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right.
Yes, please speak up.
At the last meeting, Director Lucy asked me the question about if the system could hold as much water as we pay for it, and it's very, intense. So Phil provided a real nice letter, and I provided it to the board. And so I would, one, I want to thank Phil for putting the information together. Two, I provided it so you could read it like I had to read it twice. So basically, the answer to her question is, hypothetically, yes, but there's a lot of things that play into it as to what time of year it is, where the water's coming from. But we're glad to report that after the new test that they did, our ability to receive water is greater. And Phil knows why they changed one valve and stuff, and that's all I know about it. So if I would ask that you either read the nice letter that Phil provided, or if you have any specific questions, ask him. He's our expert. Thank you.
Thank you for following
is there
up.
Is there any additional questions on that, or does anyone want additional information? Okay, moving on to item number 9, consideration of warrants. Is there any changes or any comments from the general manager as far as the warrants are concerned before we proceed?
The only comment I have on the warrants is I want to apologize for not getting the information of the warrants themselves to the board sooner. But I will share with you that I have what's referred to as the justification or the bills or the actual documentation to every one of the 53 checks here in front of me. The 53 checks are over there. There's a ticker tape on top of them, and you'll see that each one has been, you know, checked and checked off. They have my signature on the first line. We have improved the process. Like, for example, now we prepare those, and then we put them in the safe. So, you know, it'll be like last night we finished late, but still Mary stopped by and, you know, saw them on my desk and stuff. I want to invite the board for this time forward, like, you know, next month or whenever, when we prepare them. If you want to look
in packet so that if we do have a question, we would have time to come in and see it, not getting it at 5 o'clock today.
We understand.
Okay, any other comments?
Although I would like to say this is the first time that the justifications have been attached with the physical checks, so there is an ability to at least do a cross-reference, and I think that's super, super important, not one that's just made up. So it does add validity to being fiscally responsible.
Anyone else?
I'd echo both Barbara's comment and Mary's that it's very difficult when the warrants come this late to do a responsible review. But I'm very pleased with Raphael's organization, where we have as many check numbers as possible now match, and that we have the justification for the warrants rather than just distributing them as has gone on in the past. So I very much appreciate that. I'm torn on this item. I've looked through the warrants and I don't see anything that looks out of line. I know that they've been properly reviewed and signed, and the justification is there, so I'll probably support the warrants this time. Going forward, once again, if the check numbers and the warrant numbers do not match, I will not be able to support warrants in the future where the check number does not match the warrant number.
Any other comments?
I have a question on the United States Staffing Associates, and that's our temps. Is that correct? What period does this cover? Because this we've been paying our temps. This is nearly $10,000.
What page are you on?
I'm on page 11. And while you're looking, I do have to say that when Vern and I signed the checks, that one of the times that other board members did not vote for the warrants, we had all the backup and we matched everything up, and it did match. So this is not the first time. It's there.
It's the second time.
It is there.
Oh, it's the second time. But I don't know. I wasn't a signer, so I wouldn't be included in that.
Now you will. So you can try it out this time.
If you had a chance to look at them all now, Vern, or Jim?
I've looked at them to my satisfaction, yes.
Okay, and let's call the question, and I look for a motion.
I move we pay the bills.
I second that.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, carries 5-0.
No, I'm abstaining.
Okay, carries 4-0 with one abstention.
We'll find out later.
Okay, item number 10 is fire items, and we do not have any tonight. So this takes us on to item number 11, 11A.
I already did that.
11A, cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines, continual disclosure of the emergency declared by the Board of Directors concerning the cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. Raphael, you want to have anything you want to add to this?
No, sir.
Okay, public comment? Hearing none, bringing it back to the board. Any questions, comments on this discussion? Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we continue the declaration of emergency following the San Simeon earthquake for cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines.
I second that.
Been moved and second. Vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay, carries 5-0. Okay, it takes us to item number 11B, change order number 7. Raphael, will you introduce this, please?
This is one of our engineers
extended from DRI, Disaster Recovery Initiative, goes until March 31st, 2009. To give you a status update on the project that we're discussing, it's going extremely well. R. Baker is doing an outstanding job. Utilities Supervisor Davis and our construction manager, Craig Taylor, and our engineers working on the project have all had glowing reviews for R. Baker. They should most likely, given some weather issues, they should be complete by the end of this year, and we wouldn't need to extend the deadline. But since there's no other meetings this month, just in case, so there's no gap between the end of the year and the next meeting, we wanted to, as a preemption, to extend that to March 31st so it matches the funding. So that's one item. And secondly, there's a progress payment number 6, and specifically what I detailed in the staff report, I just discussed what it covers. That progress payment covers segment 10, which was in the alley between Harding and Coolidge to the north of us here, and then there was also segment 28, which was in Pier Avenue. It was just a repair of a drop manhole right there in on the main thoroughfare. All that's left are 3 segments on Air Park Drive, and they're very close to being completed. And with that, the project will be complete as well. And it's been a long time coming, but it's been actually, once we got to construction, it's been a very smooth project with some funding being extended out and things like that. But that is a basic summary without an actual report of what's going on, and what we're requesting of the board is to approve progress payment number 6 to R. Baker and to approve change order number 7, also with R. Baker.
Doug, let me ask you a question. Is when you said Pier Avenue, can you tell me exactly where that is?
Hold on. We're going to go to public comment first and after to make sure the report is finished. Are you finished with your report?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any public comment? Okay, hearing none, bring it back to the board. Okay, now you can ask your question.
Where is the patch that was fixed on Pier?
On Pier, it is the manhole. It would be directly east of the intersection, towards Highway 1, of the intersection of Pier and Norswing.
Oh, it's west of the tracks.
West of the tracks.
Okay.
West of Highway 1, east of Norswing, right there, kind of right near the intersection. And it was only about 10 feet in length. Yeah. Probably.
That's fine. I was thinking of the Pike. I apologize.
Oh, that's
but
okay.
Let me ask you if this falls under your description of what you've been doing around town and if it was included in the block grant or not, is that the Board of Supervisors had approved funds for flooding on 21st. It was, I think it was Wilmore or... I think it was Wilmore, 21st, but right in the middle of the block, the Board of Supes had redirected block grant funds to stop that flooding going through those houses right there. And correct me if I'm wrong. Do you remember a discussion about that? It was about $32,000, and then the money was somehow gone, and it was moved up to the corner of 23rd and the Pike, across from the school. You didn't have anything to do with that project, right?
No,
okay.
I don't recall anything. Okay. It may have been with Wallace Group, but it wasn't me specifically,
okay.
So I don't recall that.
It was a county project.
Oh, it was, okay. And it was that's stormwater, it sounds like, or drainage, and this
yeah.
specific project.
But
is
they
the
did
sewer.
Get a letter from the district saying the district would be facilitating that project. So that's why I asked you if it had fallen under that.
Okay. It wasn't for me.
Okay. Yes. Thanks. Look in another direction.
Okay. Any other questions? Comments? Anything? Okay. So what do we need? We need an action item here? Is this a report, or what are we doing?
I would move that we approve change order number 7, extending the contract length for R. Baker Construction on the sewer project, and approved progress payment number 6 in the amount of $68,217.48.
Second.
Okay. And this is everything you need on this?
Correct.
Okay.
That would be item 11B.
Okay.
They're together.
All right. Roll call vote, please.
Vice President Dean.
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay, item number 11C.
I won't actually be discussing this. Jeremy Freund, also from Wallace Group, would.
Have an alley on North Swing Drive and Pershing Drive in Pini of Oceano. 2. Adopt the attached resolution 2009-16 with findings that the proposed waterline replacements are necessary and the projects have been reviewed in compliance with the requirements of the California Environmental Quality Act, also known as CEQA. 3. Direct staff to obtain permits as necessary from the California Coastal Commission and the County of San Luis Obispo Planning and Building Department. 4. Direct general manager to sign and file the notice of determination to the Office of Planning and Research and the San Luis Obispo County Clerk. And finally, 5, direct staff to file the environmental document and pay the environmental document filing fee of $1,993 to the county clerk recorder for the California Department of Fish and Game per section 711-0.4 of the California Fish and Game Code. With that said, over the last about 8 months, the previous board authorized staff to pursue funding through the Economic Recovery Bill, which was signed into law back in February 2009 through the California Safe Drinking Water Revolving State Fund. The California State Safe Drinking Water Fund was to receive about approximately $160 million in funds in adoption to their regular annual budget. These funds were to be distributed to shovel-ready projects as a priority. Staff completed and submitted a pre-application for all 5 waterline projects in an amount of $1.2 million. The district was not selected as part of the SDWSRF funds, but directed staff to continue with the environmental review and permit processing for all of the waterline segments. Should other funding become available in the future, these projects would now have already completed the required environmental review with tonight's adoption and be ready for construction on a more quickly basis. The understanding is the recommendation in front of the board is to approve the mitigated neg deck for the replacement of these 5 water lines, existing water lines. The purpose of these water line replacements is to repair or replace various water supply pipelines throughout the Oceana Community Service District in order to serve both existing and future customers within the district's service area. In doing so, these improvements will improve water quality within the district and to achieve AWWA standards for drinking water and provide the required flow of water for fire protection. The proposed action and project involves, as I mentioned, the five segments before, the replacement of 450 linear feet of a 2-inch pipeline with an 8-inch PVC and 300 linear feet along 14th Street from Rice Street to Wilmar Avenue. Segment
to
two.
What street? I'm sorry.
That
you
was
need to
from
a little bit because I, you sound. I can't even understand. What
I'm going
you're
too
saying.
Fast for you.
Well, yeah, and if your words are running together, and so just take it easy there.
Sure.
And actually, can you tell me where Beach Street and Pier Avenue cross?
If you go to,
well, according to this, it does.
I think they do.
Beach Street Alley on Pier Avenue.
Oh,
so
those are separate segments.
Well, that
within the Beach Street Alley and then on Pier Avenue, that each
yeah, that's
each little clause separated by commas is are separate segments.
And now. That will go into further discussion.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name or who you're with or anything. I apologize.
Jeremy Freund from Wallace Group.
Okay.
Okay. To go back, the five segments in reference, and I listed the original opening statement was listing the five locations. Segment one is a replacement of 450 linear feet of existing 2-inch steel pipe with an 8-inch PVC pipe and approximately 300 linear feet waterline laterals on 14th Street and Rice Street to Wilmar Avenue, which will with an estimated site disturbance of 750 square feet. Segment 2 is the replacement of 860 linear feet of existing 2- and 4-inch steel pipes with a 12-inch PVC pipe and approximately 200 linear feet of waterline laterals within the Beach Street Alley from 17th Street to 21st Street. That was an estimated site disturbance of 10,600 square feet. Segment 3 is a replacement of 665 linear feet of existing 6-inch asbestos cement pipe with a 10-inch PVC pipe, approximately 75 linear feet of waterline lateral with an estimated site disturbance of 10,400 square feet. With those five segments, it is a replacement of smaller water lines to accommodate fire flow and server flows. As you can, it's identified here, from small lines to larger lines to identify these fire flow and safe drinking water standards. The existing pipelines consist of, as mentioned, 1-, 2-, and 4-inch steel pipes, as well as 4- and 6-inch asbestos cement pipes. Many of these existing pipelines are incapable of handling increased water pressures and flows necessary to provide adequate fire protection. Replacement of water lines are increased in size as compared to existing pipelines in order to ensure sufficient fire flows. None of these upsized pipelines are intended to serve new development beyond individual vacant parcels located in the project area. All construction work associated with the proposed waterline replacements will involve some open trench removal and replacement, similar to what you've been seeing with the sewer line replacements throughout the community. The maximum width of the excavation trench will be 10 feet in order to allow for vehicle access and avoidance of other existing pipelines. The feasibility of pipe bursting is also being investigated as it relates to asbestos cement pipes, increase in size and depth of soil cover over the such pipe. Since several of the existing pipelines to be removed involve asbestos cement pipe, these removal activities will conform to Air Pollution Control District and Cal OSHA requirements for removal of potentially hazardous materials. All work will be within public right-of-way, and construction will disturb combined 44,600 square feet, or 1.02 acres. A phase one archaeological study was prepared. Mitigation measures, including archaeological monitoring during construction, will mitigate any potential impacts to an insignificant level. Through the process of preparing the CEQA document, I do have the representative here, Doug Wood from Wood Associates. And if there's direct questions on this material, he can be brought up to answer those. Through this process, we did receive comments from the Air Pollution Control District and the County of San Luis Obispo Public Works. APCD evaluated the construction impacts of the proposed project by comparing it against screening models within APCD's air quality handbook. This evaluation indicated that construction phase impacts will likely be less than the APCD's significance threshold values of 185 pounds of emissions per day and 2.5 tons of emissions per quarter. Although the proposed project does not exceed APCD's thresholds for generation of what they call as fugitive dust and other construction-related emissions, the APCD requires implementations of a variety of dust control measures, including water and graded surfaces, dirt stockpiles, planting and or stabilization of disturbed soils, covering of hauling trucks, street sweeping at the end of each construction day, as well as the potential for encountering hydrocarbon contaminated soils and naturally occurring asbestos. Mitigation measures, air qualities 14 and 15 were added to the CEQA document to address encountering hydrocarbon contaminated soils and naturally occurring asbestos. The other items that were identified in the APCD response letter were included and addressed through air quality measures 1 through 18 in the attached CEQA document. San Luis Obispo, as I mentioned, County Public Works provided a response letter, and the response letter was thank you, we've received and filed it. There was no official other than a written comment. To note, segments 3, 4, and 5 are located within the county's coastal zone boundary. County Coastal Land Use Ordinance, this is where there will be we did get a verbal discussion from County Planning Department. The pipelines, segment 3, 4, and 5, are located in the coastal zone boundary, which typically, when you have a project located there, requires a plot plan approval. And because it's an appealable area, they actually elevate those to a minor use permit that can be appealed to the Coastal Commission. I have been conferring with county planning staff on that, whether or not they would actually take an action on processing a minor use permit directly or allowing the district to file directly with Coastal Commission. And as of 5 o'clock tonight, they had not responded back to that request. Segments 1 and 2 are located in the San Luis Obispo County inland area. They qualify for a zoning clearance according to Title 22, Section 22.30.36(b)(1), which applies to all sites with a disturbance less than level. Measures are proposed as biological construction monitoring, temporary fencing of sensitive habitat, a worker training program, and limiting the work area to the minimum practical extent. The constructions of segments 3 and 5 may indirectly impact the downstream willow riparian scrub area, seasonal emergent woodlands, and coastal freshwater marsh and open water habitats adjacent to and within the Oceana Lagoon. Mitigation measures have and been prepared to address any impacts. Please reference Biological Resources 19 through 35. Project action and timing. Project construction is anticipated to occur within 2 to 3 months of a project approval by the CSD and securing the approvals from any other involved local, state, or federal agencies. Project construction will require approximately 4 months to complete all required excavation, pipeline removal, and replacement and restoration of pipeline routes to their previous conditions.
Can I ask you a question?
Wait, I'm going to hold questions until after the report is finished, please.
With the results, with the adoption of the Mega NEG deck tonight, with the required posting, we'll complete the environmental review phase of the project. The project will provide replacement water lines in the project area. Through design and mitigation, adverse environmental impacts will be minimized to the maximum extent possible. With that, going back to the recommendations, the board would certify and complete that the mitigated neg deck is complete and accurate. There is an attached resolution 2009-16, which clarification if that needs to be read now.
No. We'll before it's resolved.
Okay. And then once they approve, if you approve it tonight, you have to complete and certify the neg deck, adopt the resolution, and then direct items, recommendations 3, 4, and 5. And that ends my staff report presentation.
Thank you. Is there any additional information staff wants to bring forward?
May I ask a question of council?
Fairly soon. Okay. No more staff report. Any information on staff as far as staff report is concerned? Okay. Any public comment? Okay. Bring it back to the board. Okay. Mary Lucy was first, and then Jim. Mary.
I'm not real familiar. You know, I'm pretty familiar with the quality of the streets, you know, east of the railroad tracks. I know that there's a lot more curbs, gutters, and sidewalks west of the tracks, and I just use the tracks as a marker, okay? It doesn't mean anything else. But I notice in here that you have dust control. And so on this side of town, When the brushes go by, you know, mm-hmm. what they're doing is they're brushing dirt into our houses mm-hmm. because we don't have any curbs or gutters or sidewalks. And so what we have is dirt. And so I see that you have this whole thing about dust control, right? Mm-hmm. And I have several people ask me all the time, why do you guys spend money on those damn trucks that blow the dirt in my house? You know, because we don't have any curbs or gutters or sidewalks, so when the trucks come by, right, to do the sweeping, mm-hmm. it just blows into our houses. So I would actually, and I don't know about the other areas, but I know that living on Beach Street, trust me, we have very, very little cement on that street, and so I can't speak to the other ones, but you do bring it up as a nuisance, and so I would like you to really take that into consideration, your environment around you. Mm-hmm. I think it's great that you're taking and rinsing off the wheel wells of your trucks going to and from the construction site, but the residents in the area particularly don't want that stuff in our houses, and it is a problem. You know, some people, you know, they have it and some people don't. But most of us have dirt for the fronts of our houses. And then it says, can you talk to me a little bit more about, excuse me, the reclaimed water to be used for dust control? You know, I'm a little reluctant to have gray water being sprayed around. And particularly in an environmental area, I mean in an agricultural area, and being so close to the ocean, you know, I have a few concerns. If you want to do it in your own yard, that's fine, but to spray it in my yard and on top of my dust that's going to come into my house, So maybe you might want to take point 12 into a little bit more consideration on that one for me. And then last but not least is, can you explain to me, because I'm slightly ignorant,
So if there is extra material on the roadway that would be swept up. What I'm hearing is, has it been your experience from the sewer line replacement that there's debris going outside the construction zone? I just need a clarification on that.
No, the street sweepers that come around,
which is separate from the separate type of use than what we're actually doing for this mitigation measure.
Oh, I thought I read here that you were going to use the street sweepers at the end of each day.
Yes, you would be, but I'm saying is, and
that's Doug, my issue, the sweepers.
Okay.
One.
No, I'm saying, Doug, would you have a further information regarding that? Because I didn't know if that was the same sweepers they would use from the construction site versus
community-wide. Well, they did make a good clarification is that they'll use it on the cement, but they didn't address the dirt. Okay. And so in most areas, you probably won't have this problem. But on Beach Street, you're going to have this problem because we don't have any sidewalks.
Okay.
So, you know.
I'd like to introduce Doug Wood from Wood Associates.
Well, I appreciate that.
Good evening. My name is Douglas Wood. I am president of the firm of Douglas Wood & Associates. Our office, our main office is located in San Luis Obispo, and we prepared the initial study and mitigated negative declaration document that's before you. Just to give these air quality measures a little bit of context, these are specifically worded measures that come down from the APCD, literally on high. And they, in spite of the fact that there are no significant impacts, and according to CEQA, if you don't have a significant impact, you don't have to mitigate it. Okay, you don't have to reduce it to a level of insignificance if it's already insignificant. In spite of that fact, they still require implementation of these measures because they say so. Now, the wording on these are very general so that they can apply to as many situations as possible. What you're pointing out are some unique aspects to some of the streets here in Oceano relative to streets
we've been. And it's really not very unique to Oceano, but, you know.
But these measures were intended to be worded to apply countywide. So they're general, and they're intended to provide some measure of flexibility, as long as you make a good faith effort to adhere to the intent. Now, it says here that on any paved road. So if it's an unpaved road, I really can't see how a street sweeper is going to be all that effective in removing the dust, and that's the intent of this measure. If you do have situations where dust can be raised, then water sweepers would be used. And that's intended, again, to keep the dust down if it's necessary to do that. But again, on an unpaved street, I can't see the need. I don't really see a situation where trucks will be dumping dirt on a paved surface that then gets blown around, and that's the intent of this measure. I hope that answers that question, at least in terms of the dust generation. And also, the sweeping that's going to be done is going to be on a very localized area. It's not going to be going up and down the streets like the normal street sweepers do. So the duration of time that these machines are going to be operating are going to be extremely limited. So it's not going to be generating a whole lot of dust, if at all. And if it does, it's going to be for a very limited period. The same thing also applies to the use of reclaimed water. It's a recommendation. Some agencies, such as NCSD, when they're faced with this same requirement, they still have to accept the requirement, but it says where possible. In their case, they don't have reclaimed water available for that, so they don't use it. But where possible, it's a standard recommendation to use reclaimed water in situations to keep the dust down. You'd be surprised how much of it is used in the area. If it was a health problem, the County Department of Health wouldn't allow reclaimed water to be used for those purposes. Again, those come down directly from the Air Pollution Control District, and we have to include them in the document to demonstrate to the APCD that we're trying to adhere to their requirements. But again, there's enough flexibility in there so that this district has the opportunity to make sure that the dust is kept down to the maximum degree possible, but where it makes sense. I hope that answers your question.
Just to address it a little more specifically to this project. This is boilerplate information, basically, from the APCD. The way that we have worked the CEQA with Mr. Wood is we have five segments in there, but when we go to construction, we can parse out any one segment or any two segments or do it in any order. And when we go to each specific area, a given street, our specifications will then address localized issues to that area. So we will, and I think it's a very good point, and it's something that as we break out these segments, we will definitely take comment on them and make sure we address
project work. And what I want to know is, does the public generally exception apply, or should I recuse myself from this discussion?
I would suggest that you not recuse yourself. I think this is a falls within the public generally exception. Yeah, we're talking about five segments here, I believe. If you're within distance of one, I think that's insignificant itself, but I definitely think the public exception would apply.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I have a question on when you do these documents, how long do they stay fresh? I mean, how long do we have to operate off of this CEQA NEPA document?
I'm going to ask Mr. Woods to
Okay.
let me ask that.
Actually, as long as either the project doesn't change or the circumstances surrounding the project doesn't change, such as, you know, something happens to the streets or the pipes where, you know, a different circumstance is created, or over time if no new significant impacts or potential mitigation measures occur, then it's good.
Good.
There are a few studies in some EIRs that do have a shelf life, like a traffic study or a noise study, but those issues really weren't paramount here. Most of the issues we're talking about of potential significance, like the removal of the asbestos pipes and the dust control and all the rest, are pretty much constant. So as long as things around it don't change, then it's still good.
That's good news.
Yeah.
Any other questions, comments? Okay. I'll entertain a motion. Yes.
Well, I would move that we certify as complete and accurate the mitigated negative declaration for the project to replace existing water lines located on 14th Street, within the Beach Street Alley on Pier Avenue, and within the Pacific Avenue Alley on Northwing Drive and on Pershing Drive in the community of Oceano. I don't know if you want to do it in segments, maybe just end.
I would suggest doing it in
okay.
segments.
That would be my motion.
Second.
Okay. Further discussion? Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay. We have
some. You could take a 5-minute break if you could under the ADA.
You need that before we finish this item?
No, finish this item.
Okay. So we still have some more what else do we still need to approve on this?
The next part, next section of this particular item, it has been suggested by the Wallace Group that you adopt the resolution 2009-16 that's in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District adopting mitigated negative declaration and directing pursuit of permitting for the 5 waterline replacement projects.
Okay. Any...
I would move approval of that resolution that was 2009-16, just described by Ryan.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay, both motions carry 5-0, and so we at this point will take a 5-minute, 10-minute break.
Mr. President, I don't want to be the thorn in the side. There's a few more things that can be done, and I think they can be done summarily. It's items 3 through 5, as proposed on the staff report and the recommendations by the Wallace Group. This is direction. This is not an action that needs to be voted on, and this falls under.
Okay.
The recommendations by the Wallace Group are to direct staff to obtain permits as necessary from the California Coastal Commission and County of San Luis Obispo Planning and Building Department, to
okay.
direct the general manager to sign and file the notice of determination to the Office of Planning and Research and the San Luis Obispo County Clerk, direct staff to file the environmental document and pay the environmental document filing fee of $1,993 to the county clerk recorder for the California Department of Fish and Game per section 711.4 of the California Fish and Game Code.
Okay. And
and now that I say it, I don't think it would hurt to actually make
we need to change
the date.
No, never
was
approved.
Okay. Let us know. We're getting calls.
Saturday.
Okay.
Okay. Coming back to order. Prior to the break, we completed items 11A through 11E, and we are now at 11F, discussion regarding report on capacity of OCSD delivery system for imported water. General Manager, would you please introduce this item?
We had that when Phil talked about utilities, and I talked about the letter in the explain the capacity issue, but we can review it again if you like.
So there's nothing to add then to it?
No,
at this
sir.
Point. Okay. Any public comment on this item? Okay. Hearing none. Bring to the board. Anybody have anything they want to add or say on this item?
Well, this really refers to the water, the state and Lopez water that we have been unable to get our full share through our water pipelines. And what Phil and others have done is they've removed a globe valve, done some pigging, and figured that we're getting very close to being able to get our full capacity of state water and Lopez water each year, which means that we don't have to do the pumping that we have been doing, groundwater pumping that we want to cease doing. So, I mean, this is a big, big item because for years we haven't not been able to get full capacity. And this is quite involved, what went on here and the explanation. I had a question on the Lancaster. There's a Lancaster turnout that you talked about. I had Lancaster Drive bypass system. Could you speak to that a little bit more?
All it is, we're bringing the water to the center of the system. If anything happens to that last, say, 8,000 feet of pipe, we can turn it in at another spot.
Okay.
That's all it was designed.
Okay. So that would allow us to bring even more water into the district.
Surprisingly, it's fucking less head up there, and it's there's less line restrictions, and they give up 50% more water. That's kind of what I said in the last year.
Yeah, I see that. I just wanted the people out there to know that this means that we can get all of our water that we pay for. All of it can come to the district.
Provided the state provides it.
Yes, well, but we have the capacity now. There's no restriction in the capacity. Okay, thank you.
This is under the flow from the pumps from Lopez, is that right? This water is coming, the flow of this water is coming. It's being pumped with pumps from the Lopez district.
Gravity,
okay. So if there are ways to increase this flow, if it has to be increased in the future with pumps, is that correct? Okay.
So, Phil, let me get this right. Before the pipe was worked on, we could pump about 70% of our allotment, correct? Was it about 70%? Okay, and then with the change, we increased it by 15%?
Yes.
So we're still short about 15% of 100% capacity.
Right, except for the Lancaster bypass valve.
Right.
Get it into the system as long as we don't have to blend.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions, discussion? Okay. Moving on to item number 11G, review of current tracks and development projects and staff recommendations. G1 is the HART project. General Manager Montemaro, would you please introduce this?
We would recommend approval of 9-1 for a will serve letter, and we would wait for legal opinion on 9-2.
Okay, right now we're on 9-1, so anything you need to add to the report, the written report?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Any public comment on this item? Okay, none. Okay, bring it back to the board. Any discussion?
No. Okay.
It's an existing building. They're not adding anything to it, so they're not required by the county to install an enclosure.
Also, do they have a fire hydrant adjacent to that building? I can't remember. There one out on the street?
It's fairly close to it, yes.
Okay. So it's an existing fire hydrant, no new fire hydrant.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions, comments?
Not on one.
Okay. Should we, how does the board feel about having the fog requirements added into the will serve letter? Is that something that we should do, or? The fog requirement, should that be added into the will serve letter? What does staff think on that?
I think what we do is as soon as we issue a will serve letter that is appropriate for a fog inspection, we send them a copy so they will add it to their list.
Okay, so is it covered under?
Have we informed the applicant that they're going to be subject to that?
No, not yet. Okay. But we can certainly add that.
Is that your question, Bryn, that you think it would be wise to
have it as
have restaurant applicants and other similar businesses be notified that they'd be subject to the FOG program?
We can add it to the will serve letter.
Yeah, I was just thinking it might be good to have it as an item on here.
I agree. I think that's a good idea.
And please note that they probably do need a grease trap or... Definitely, they need a grease trap. Okay.
Isn't that something that the county doesn't the county require that in their will in their permits and will serves and stuff on any restaurants? Wouldn't that fall into public health under the OSHA laws?
The county ordinance is different if it's quote like if you go get a permit that you want to. Do something that there's nothing there, then they have different rules than if you have something. So I don't know in this particular case if the county would say that they need to upgrade it or not. But if there was nothing there, then they would for sure.
District has a program that requires the inspections for fats, oils, and grease.
Okay, so it's under our powers. Mm-hmm. So then we also have the mechanism to inspect them after they're put in place?
Right.
Okay, any further discussion?
Not on that, on the second item.
All right, hold on, let's finish up this one. All right, so we don't need a vote on this, it's just direction to staff as...
To go ahead and approve it with the addition of the fog.
Or did we do a vote on it?
Yeah.
Do we vote on it? Just.
I don't think we voted on it. It was direction to staff. Just to review and direct staff.
All right. Okay, so that takes us on to item number 11G2, the Woodward project.
On two, you know, I would suggest that given the concerns... And we don't have for sure a legal in regard to whether or not it should go to LAFCO. So at this time, I think we should hold off, and then we'll look into it.
And actually, I think the board can probably give me some pretty good insight into this. Gina did a good job of kind of explaining the current agreement, why this is in the city of Arroyo Grande and Oceanos providing the water. I don't have all the details. Like I said, Gina did a pretty good job of explaining it to me. My understanding is that there is a 40-plus-year-old agreement long before OCSD.
1963.
It's an agreement between essentially us and Arroyo Grande. because Arroyo Grande does not have pipelines to that particular area, Oceano provides water in that neighborhood. We're trying to get a hold of the agreement so I can see what our obligations are under the agreement and whether or not we fit within its government code 6. I'm sorry,
66133.
And in, there was a letter I believe all of you have now seen from Mr. Jeff Edwards regarding his issue with the board approving the will serve letter as proposed. In it, he references Government Code Section 66133. That's actually Government Code Section 56133. So if anyone wanted to look it up or the public wants to refer to it, I don't entirely agree with Mr. Edwards' analysis of this particular approval being subject to the government code, but I don't really know yet. We need to see the agreement, but we need to see if we can get the provisions of that agreement that I can kind of look at and say, board, here's my suggestion. Either do or do not report, you know, go to LAFCO and have the developer pick up the fees for that. So in short, my suggestion is let's sit on this for a month, see if we can get some more information about the 1963 agreement, and then get back to you with a more informed recommendation.
If we
Okay, that's the completes the report then from the... Okay.
From me, yes.
All right. So is there any public comment on this item? Okay, then bringing it back to the board now. Emma?
Yeah, because... What we would be doing was would be providing water to a development in Arroyo Grande. Arroyo Grande then has all of the, they get the property taxes for all of that. And I'm not sure why we did the agreement originally. Was it to promote good relations or something like that, or there were some areas outside that
I think, and somebody might be able to correct me, I think we had pipelines that went to that area.
I see.
Arroyo Grande did not, and the expense was just too great to install the water lines.
So you'll check into that and get back to us.
Yeah.
I was taken aback that we would be providing water for in Arroyo Grande. Subdivision.
And you do know that we provided in the area to...
Yeah, I know we have some other ones, but... Yeah.
In this one we do. Like, for example, the 7-Eleven is in this, and we presently provide water.
But maybe but we don't need to in the future.
But my comment was, you know, to table it so that the legal opinion could look and see whether or not we have an issue.
Right, right.
And, Ryan, can I ask you to also look into the wheeling fees? Because anytime a drop of AG water, you know, just like the mobile home parks, you know, we're paying a wheeling fee to get water into that park on their pipes.
Right. And the difference with this is these are actually our pipes.
Right, but it's AG we're providing service to.
And that's kind of why I want to see the agreement.
My they should be paying us fees. Because not only are we providing the water, we're providing the pipe as well.
All those streets that are currently being served that are in Arroyo Grande, the only extra charge we make at this time is every 2 months they're billed an additional $7.10 because they're outside the district.
But they, those people in Arroyo Grande pay the district directly for their services, their water services.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to get a copy of this agreement, correct?
I'm going to try. I think the city of Arroyo Grande, someone over there said they might have it, and they're going to try and get it to us.
It's easier than the county.
What's that?
It's easier that way than the county.
Right. And, you know, it's a 45-year-old agreement. I'm kind of hoping that there's a copy of it somewhere. So, but yeah, that is the goal. We're going to try and get our hands on the agreement.
Yeah, because, look, I agree with Director Dean, you know, AG is the one that's profiting off this, just on the tax dollar alone.
No, I don't disagree with that at all. I think that's spot on.
So I don't think this board should accept anything that's not in writing from the 65 agreement. Not hearsay, word of mouth, whatever. I think it needs to be the original agreement.
Director Mann?
No, nothing.
Anyone else? Okay. Few concerns on this as far as going forward. If this project does go forward, I want to make sure we look at streetlights in the area. So just so you're aware of that. Also, my understanding is that AG will get the sewer connected to the sewer and sewer sewer money on that. So it's something we need to know about. And then in that area, the sewers are not OCSD sewers and not billed to OCSD. True or not true?
There are our sewer lines where this development is going in.
Okay, and so we will collect sewer fees on that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And also that area, I guess, has got fairly old infrastructure in it.
Put in probably 59 or 60.
Okay, so we're going to want to make sure that if we're adding these water flows, that the system's going to be able to handle it and then handle any fire flows as well. And I guess these are all going to require fire sprinklers, right?
If this is a city or a ready construction, our fire department does not respond as a first responder.
Okay. So item number 12 was handled earlier. 12A was. This takes us on to item number 12B, status report on the 2007-2008 audit.
The status of the 2007-2008 audit is today I received a draft. Now, I wanted to share it with the board as soon as possible, but, you know, I repeat, it's just a draft, and we haven't had a chance. We received it today, but I thought that both the board and us could go through it and then at the next meeting better address it. But the status was I had gone to great lengths to explain to the auditor that we wanted to finish this and move forward. So when the last time I spoke with them, and I included it in my weekly report, they said, well, they were working on a draft. I said, well, the board is only going to meet one meeting in December. So I really, really stressed. But at that time, they couldn't tell me as to whether or not they could have a draft for us. That was why I didn't agenda it or didn't say anything, because I figured then I might as well stamp stupid on my forehead if I promise a draft for the December meeting and I can't produce one. So the draft came in via email today. We provided it. It's on your desks. I would suggest you take them home, look at them, and, you know, we'll start moving forward. It's probably not appropriate right at this time, but earlier than the debate changed and I didn't get to comment on, Director Mann and Director Hill had asked me the other night at the Finance Committee to ask this auditor as to whether or not they could provide a forensic audit for us and then, you know, to report to the board. Well, that was Monday evening. Tuesday, first thing, 9 o'clock in the morning, I called and I spoke with them at great lengths. And at that point, we still didn't have this draft. And I explained to them that the board wanted to know if they could provide it and so on and so forth, and that we wanted to move this one on as quickly as possible. They said, yes, if they're directed to do so, they could. And two, to keep the cost down, that the board should think if there's anything, you know, specific. I shared with them our concern about the check numbering, how challenging it is. And the auditor said, yes, that's one of the reasons that the audits, you know, take so long. Mm-hmm. So that concludes my report. We have the draft. Now the board has voted to move forward with the forensic audit, and I have no further information at this time.
All right. Public comment on this item? All right. Bring it back to the board. Any comments? Discussion? Jim, do you have anything to add?
No, I have nothing to add. Thank you.
Okay.
So, are you going to do the correction of the board of directors, or should we go through and do that as well?
The reason they're like that is because that's what was in effect of June 30, 08.
Mm-hmm.
That's typical GAAP procedures that, you know, at the time of the audit, that's what was going on. Now, I know it looks, because it's so long and overdue, but hopefully we're moving forward.
Anyone else? Anything else? Okay, moving on to item number 12C, Prop 218 procedures. General Manager Montemiro, please introduce us.
Item 12C, the Finance Committee met on Monday, and they had some concerns about the procedure. I provided them with a draft. They made some comments already as far as I had some time issues, and we're going to perfect it and bring it back to the board so that if we move forward with a 218, we'll have a document. Basically, what I did was I took a document that I got from Cambria that earlier the board had looked at, and I added some information that we talked about here, like the 45-day, the time limit and stuff, and I created a draft, and I gave the draft to the Finance Committee. And now the Finance Committee and I will look at it, and we'll tailor it to whatever your specifications are. And in the document, like where we will have to put in dates, I just left like blank, but I put the year. And it looks like a pretty good document as far as a starting point. At least we'll have something that when we need it, it'll be available. Plus, the hardest part was to get it on electric form. So now I have it.
But at the time of the public hearing, is that correct?
If I might comment, there is no time specification in the Cambria document, and the POMA was one that had required that the notices be mailed 45 days in advance, a minimum of 45 days in advance of the date set for the protest hearing. So I think that was the objective, to make sure that people got at least 45 days notice of the upcoming meeting.
So
opportunity to submit a protest if they desired.
So when G says the protest was not received by the general manager before the close of the public hearing on the proposed charges, that should be maybe looked at, do you think? Or
well,
that would be
correct.
That would be the end. Okay.
That would be
right.
The end.
We put in there that we're going to notify them. They're going to have at least 45 days to complain. And then the protest will end. It has to have a... So it'll end the day of the public hearing.
Okay.
At least that was how I thought you wanted it. If you want it different, just yes. Let me know.
Well, I wasn't at that meeting, so I didn't know how this played out. And the request.
And as a matter of fact, I have a question as well too.
Okay.
Farther down on that page, they want to know that, for example, where they can submit a complaint or a protest. Well, I've got like three dots, but only two are filled in, because I didn't know. I put our address here, and then I also in closing put personally submitting the protest at the public hearing, but there's a blank in between. If the board feels that we should, you know, post it someplace else or put the information someplace else, let me know where we're going to put it, and then I'll put that in that space.
I can't think of where else
I couldn't
we'd
either
post
that's
it.
Why I left it that's why I left it blank.
Yeah, I saw the blank there, and I'm thinking, well, I guess it really has to be here.
No, but the reason it was blank and I put the dot there was because I thought if someone has a preference, you know, I even thought about, I've seen stuff like that, like the post office here that, mm-hmm. you know, we use. It's right over here. But I didn't want to, you know, ask. You can with permission. You can't post anything derogatory. You can't post anything that's a vested interest, but for public information, if it's for the public good and you get permission, you can post. So, but it's just blank at this point because I didn't have another idea as to where we should put the information.
Okay. Yeah, I can't think of any other place but here.
Does that answer your questions, Director Dean?
Yes, I think so. That makes sense now.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, I have one question. Your protest on the item number 13, it states that they're going to retain a neutral third party to tabulate the protests.
Yes.
And then in 8, if the protests are delivered to the OCSD, that kind of defeats the purpose of a third party, doesn't it?
No. We'll collect them here, but I put, for example, because I was hoping to get it done for free, so I put, as, for example, 13, as a city manager, county clerk, or in elections, because I was hoping to ask one of the city managers to be the official so we wouldn't have to pay somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But we can definitely collect them here, that I know, and then they have to be presented to a person that would tabulate them, and so it had.
I imagine, you know, I would think, I agree that we could collect them here, but what I was trying to avoid is any accusations of person getting them all.
I put that, you know, they should, even if they come here, they should come to me, so it would only be like one person in our office.
I understand it. I understand the thought process behind it. That's just a question. I don't know if it concerns anybody else or not.
If you can think of a better way, just let me know or send me an email, and we'll add it. But I tried to make it as simple for the public, and always tried to not put a price with it, hoping that we could get an official for free.
Well, I would think that it would, you know, the other place for it to be delivered would be whoever the official ends up being, the independent official delivered directly to them.
I was going to, you know, collect them here, and I would be the one reporting them.
I mean, I would refer to the rest of the board as far as what they felt on this, if that made any difference or not to them.
It's an issue of trust. You're opposing a water increase, but your opposition is going to be brought to the water department. You know, sometimes perceived conflict is way worse than the conflict itself. So that's where a lot of that comes from. I think if it was under a lockbox in the lobby, that'd be fine. You run the risk of, you know, the mail. You know, but people are going to do whatever they're going to do. I mean, we brought it up the last time when the fire department, well, one person in the fire department did a study, and we didn't even get the results from that one. And nobody could find the results. Steinhauser's study.
I would suggest buy just a big box and wrap it up with just a slot. And when people come in to Raphael's office, dump them in there. And when the mail comes, you pick out whatever the envelope says, and you just put them directly in there. Nobody opens them until the counter does that.
That was more around the lines I was thinking. I wasn't thinking a lockbox, because a lockbox, then right away they ask, well, who has the key?
Yeah.
I was thinking of a sealed carton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That way then the person, whomever would be the official, we would bring them the whole carton, and then they could tell that the carton hadn't been opened or tampered with. That was what I was thinking. And I intended to put it, like, for example, on that table in my office and, you know, welcome people, just mail it like it would be like you were voting, like an election type thing. And then I didn't want it locked, because then right away, as Mary says, you're saying, well, you know, I got the key. I could. So I wouldn't want that.
Okay. So everybody's fine with everything else there, how it is on this?
Well, I'd like to see a cleaned up copy the next time. And,
okay.
If you would, you know, give me an idea, like, for example, I put January 2010, you know, should we date it February? Should we date it March?
I used for like dates, I always used like a Wednesday because I figured then we would have the public hearing at one of our normal meetings. You know, it was just a starting point, and it still needs a lot of work, but all I ask for is suggestions, and we'll get it there.
Okay.
I wouldn't put dates. I just leave the lines, because then you've got it. If you do a 218 this year, or if you do it in 3 years from now, you've got the...
Okay, I can do that. Just leave just, where we need to put the dates, I'll just have a blank space with a line so that we'll
put
know
the word
that something's
date.
Missed, and then we go, okay.
Insert date or whatever.
All right.
Okay, so is that the privilege of the board to bring this back next time, or?
Yes.
No objections to that?
No.
Okay. So this will come back at the next meeting. Okay, this takes us to 12D, old business, and we have no status change, no report. Does anyone want to hear anything on any of these items? Okay. Public comment on this? None? Okay. Bring it back. We'll move on to item number 13. 13-1 is reserves. Would you please introduce this?
We provided the Finance Committee, and now that I think about it, I hope, you know, it didn't happen, but it sure as heck wasn't intentional. There was four people present at the Finance Committee, so we gave all four a copy of the reserves. But now that I remember, Director Dean wasn't there. So.
Thank you.
Okay. So now everybody has a copy, and I apologize for that, but we had them ready that evening, and then we just passed them out. And the reserves are show the balance on 6/30/07, 6/30/08, and 6/30/09. If a board member would like to comment or has a question, we'll attempt to answer them. Otherwise, how staff approached it is we were asked to provide the figures, and these are the figures.
Well, let me ask you if I'm reading this correctly. Under the sewer, it says the beginning balance 6/30/06.
We're going to wait until we're done and go to public comment and come back.
I'm sorry. I thought he asked for questions.
That's all right. You're done then, what you have with your report on this?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Public comment on this item? All right. Now coming back. All right. Now, Mary.
$8,237.71. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then on 6/30/08, you have a negative of $118,275.45. So, correct me if I'm wrong. And then on 6/30/09, we went from being 118,000 and some change in the hole to $214,707 in the hole. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so the sewer department, which is a revenue-generating division, is running close to a half a million dollars in the hole.
Until we're reimbursed with CDBG and DRI funds.
And then what will that make it? That will that be a half a million dollars?
I don't know what the $1,200 amount.
Well, the block grant is a negative $4,000, so that would be a $4,000, but that's for the wrong year. You wouldn't get an 06 return on that one, so that number stays the same. An 08, you wouldn't be getting block grant. The $66,000 that you have on the block grant, you wouldn't be getting, maybe you would be getting 2 years later, the 66, but
it does, and the engineering. So you're saying that we should keep hope alive and think the block grant's going to go back 2 years?
Well, I think the block grant money is for the sewer construction, the earthquake repairs that are nearing completion right now. And the county and the state came together, and we should be getting our funds for that.
So you think we'll come out of the 118,000 hole?
Hopefully to some degree.
Okay, some degree. So we're at 214,000 in the hole for 09. Do you think that there's maybe a percentage of what we could knock off that under the block grant?
It's 693,708.
That's what we've submitted. We've submitted, but I don't think we have a commitment for that. Do we have a commitment saying that they're going to give us $693,000? No.
How much are we supposed to get back?
I don't have a copy of the budget with me.
Oh, okay.
What we're doing now is starting to accumulate the remaining bills that have not been paid, because the thought is that we will probably be under the amount of money that has been pledged for the project. That allows us to go back and pick up the earlier engineering from prior years and also add in cost of administration.
So you're saying that the block grant is going to go back and pay back your bills?
If there are funds available, yes, we can go back and add the other engineering bills.
For the repairs from the earthquake, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I only worked for the city of Los Angeles for 15 years under the block grant, and the likelihood of there being $75,000 or $100,000 or $200,000 of redirected funds. I mean, things get redirected. They don't sit there. If you don't use it by October, you have to redirect the funds or let them go.
That's why we're doing this now, so that we beat the deadline.
The deadline was extended.
I believe it was extended to March.
For 09, it was extended.
No, it's extended now to March 31, 2010.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what we talked about it today, as a matter of fact. That's why it was fresh in my mind, that they extended it till March of 2010.
To redirect funds, right?
No, to direct the funds to our sewer replacement earthquake damage mitigation and repair effort.
They don't pay until everything is completed, right?
Right. When the project is complete, then the money is released and we would get reimbursed for the money.
So they didn't pay in phases?
We redirected funds. We had to get the extension because the agreements took so long. So now we have extension until the end of March. We're going to finish our work. They're telling us, the guys are telling us today or tonight, that they'll be finished, hopefully, by the end of December. We don't have rain. So we should be able to get all of those payments.
The funding agreement is now in place.
Yes, so it's catch up.
Okay, I'm going to come into your office, and you're going to explain to me how we're going to go back multiple years, just it for the sake of time.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else?
5 minutes to 10.
Yep. Okay. All right. So concludes that item.
Well, I think that are we just going to do that one item, or are we going to look at restricted reserves? I mean, because we still have water.
Well, let's so that the public knows what we're talking about. The restricted reserve balance as of June 30th of 2009 in the administrative department is 134,000. $556.04, which I note would fund a new computer system and accounting system for the district, among other things. The fire department restricted reserve balance as of 6/30/09 is $526,696.98. Our park and rec fund has $1,715.73. The restricted reserve balance for water is puzzling to me because I see at the bottom of the full page sheet, which goes down to 6/30/08, it gives a balance. And those balance numbers don't seem to carry forward to the top of the second page. I'm wondering how. That the water department balance as of 6/30/09 is $54,222 as reported. There's an additional handwritten note discussing front footage fees, which may not have been added to this account in prior years, totaling $104,000. In the sewer department, the balance is negative $214,000, and we've discussed the probability that we'll get offsetting funds for our current earthquake repair efforts. And then in the garbage fund, we have $37,555.
75 cents.
And 75 cents. And that's an unrestricted amount, right?
Mr. Hill, can I ask you, is that it was reported to the board that there was no refund on the Rolls-Royce engine that was purchased and not, wasn't certifiable, but that it was a return and it was a full refund for the engine. Is this a different engine?
Yes, it is.
It is?
Yeah.
So it was budgeted. We budgeted it in the annual budget last year. Well, I wasn't sitting here, but you did budget a new engine for the water department.
It was an add-on item during the year. It was an unexpected emergency.
I have to go back and look at my budget, but I could have sworn I saw it in there. So that's why I was wondering why it was running a negative if it was budgeted.
Okay. At this point, it is now 9:59, and we have to make a decision whether we're going to continue on or.
I'd ask that you table this so we can discuss this further.
Would you like the reserves to come back? You want them to want the reserves to go into a finance committee meeting to be looked at, or you want to?
They've been to the finance committee to be looked at.
Oh, okay.
From the finance committee, they came here. What's your pleasure?
Okay, who's on the finance committee?
That's your call next week.
No, who was on the finance committee?
Director Hill and Director May.
Okay, so what would you like to see, Mayor? You want
discussion?
Oh, discussion. I'm sorry, discussion.
If we do this, can we though? Table the reports of the district representatives.
That would be fine with me.
Yeah, we'll just talk to the speak to the insurance.
Yes.
Okay, we'll do that when we come to those items then. Okay, any other discussion? Okay, so roll call vote, please.
Yes.
Director Ruthie?
Yes.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
President Bergdahl?
Yes. Okay, so past 5:00 to extend the meeting. I don't think we had a time on that, but that's fine. Okay, this brings us to item number 14 and 15 kind of together, And and I think there was somebody wanted to offer a motion to table.
If since Barbara is resigned, maybe if she has any report that she'd like to give regarding the committees or anything.
No, the fire committee report was basically given, and the finance committee has been given, and you do the Sanders
report. Okay.
No, I have nothing.
Okay. So, Barbara's is done. That moves us to item 15, which is the other four directors. So, do we still have a motion to table?
I'm fine to table it.
Yeah, I am too.
Okay. Do we need a motion for that or just... Okay.
No.
All right. So, we will table item number 15 until the next meeting. Is there any public comment on 14 or 15? Okay, none. Okay, this takes us to item number 16A, update regarding insurance non-renewal.
In regard to 16A, this morning I called our insurance agent, and then he called me back. We compared notes about midday. He had already received one quote for a renewal. He's been instructed to bid all of our insurance both ways, both as a package with one provider for all the insurance coverage, hoping that because of the size of the premium we might get a better deal, and to bid it separate as to one piece of it is being canceled January 19th, and to bid it with two different providers. Hopefully, whichever one is the best bid is the one that we'll recommend. I spoke with him today and told him to try to get all the bids by the 21st of this month. He says that he's spoken with four or five different providers and that seemed interested, and the applications were submitted. But so far, as of today, only one had replied, and he was impressed that the one that replied was like just a little over $1,000 more for the same coverage that we had last year, so it didn't go up that much. My comments to him, besides how important it is to renew the insurance, was that I wanted to, if possible, get all the information and pick one before the December 31st, because then it's much easier, like for the audit and stuff. And first he wasn't too excited about that because he says, well, we got till the 19th. I go, well, I really don't like that. Because what happens then is if you really want to do a nice audit, the prepaid insurance doesn't match neither the fiscal year nor the calendar year. Whereas I'm hoping to renew it with a January 1st effective date. Then it's real easy to balance the books, and because half of your premium would go to this fiscal year and the other half would go to the following year. And that's my intent for this first year because we didn't have time to do any better. But then eventually I want the insurance to renew like to end on June 30th and renew July 1st, so that then all the insurance that we pay and the premium and stuff, it coincides with the budget, with the fiscal year, and it'll be much better to move forward. And I gave him those instructions, and that's where it's at. So I would ask that the board give staff permission that if we do receive the information per the 21st, that I could poll the board and say these are the prices and stuff. Because you know how the insurance business is, no ticking, no laundry. If they don't get a check, we're not going to have any coverage. So I would like to collect bids for the insurance till the 21st of December, and then the week after Christmas, that first Monday, poll the board and give you exactly, asked if there would be any more comments. That's what I was going to say. I would say I would ask the board. Obviously, the board doesn't want our insurance to cancel, and it's much better to have it January 1 than it is the 19th.
But I thought it was just a section of our insurance that was being canceled.
Wait for questions until afterwards, please.
Right now, there's two policies that have been canceled.
Don't answer my question.
You don't want me to answer you? Okay.
Well, the president
finish your report, then we'll come back and go through questions.
So, other than board authority to pay the low bid the last week of December so that we would have coverage effective January 1 of 2010 for a year and charge half of that till June 30th and the other half from July 1st, make the auditor's job easier. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Any public comment? Okay. Now, Mary.
What kind of insurance are we shopping around for? Now, I think it's real important that the community know that part of our insurance has been canceled because Bill Bookout sued the district, and it cost us a lot of money to defend ourselves, and it cost the insurance company a lot of money to defend themselves. And so what kind of insurance are we buying? Because Mr. Seamus reassured us that it was just a small part of our policy. So I need a clarification of what you're shopping for.
What I'm shopping for is, first of all, the liability insurance that is expiring, that has been canceled. Okay. Then the other policy.
Point of clarification. Now, that's the umbrella policy that we were told at the last board meeting was being canceled. Is that correct?
No, but there's two. Both the liability and the umbrella policy are being canceled, effective January 19th.
And how long have we known this?
I'd say maybe 4 weeks. I don't know.
So why was the board misled last time? Why did the attorney sit here and tell us, oh, no, only one section is being canceled?
I don't know the answer to that question.
If we've known that long, I'm looking to you for an answer. Why was the board led to believe that it was only one section? Ryan, over here.
Okay, I'm not sure.
I'm looking right at you.
I can't answer that. I was not here the last time. I can talk to Alex about that.
Reiterated several times. Oh, it's just a section. And if everybody else believes something else, then...
No, it was clearly represented that it was only an umbrella provision.
So why was the board misled?
I can't answer that.
Why did who got the notice?
The notice was...
Did the notice come to Seamus, or did the notice come to the district?
The notice came to our office.
And whose desk did it land on in the district?
I had it, and I gave it to the general manager that day.
Okay, so when Alex Seamus stated that only the liability was being canceled, you knew that wasn't factual, right? Because it's in a cancellation policy.
I do not remember who said what.
I just, you know.
Was one canceled and one expired, Mary? Did they play on the words a little bit?
No, they didn't play on the words.
No,
you know,
so,
I mean,
so what is being canceled?
I'm not saying you. No, it's an intentional misleading of this board.
And
it's offensive
canceled.
To the people.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
You know,
I
look to staff to tell me the truth, to write the proper things down on the piece of paper. You know, whether it's the GM, I don't care who it is. I look to them to give me factual information. And now I'm finding out that the entire policy had been canceled and we were led to believe it was only a portion. It's frustrating. And it's childish.
All right. What is actually being canceled?
The liability and the umbrella.
Our insurance.
Okay. So, and that's how you're bidding it out, as a liability policy and an umbrella?
I'm trying to do is one piece of it is being canceled, but the rest of the insurance
is up for renewal.
When you have picked a insurance that you feel that you want to recommend, that should be at the next board meeting for the board to look at it and be sure that that's what they want. It's got all the things they want. I think everybody should be comfortable with the policies.
It seems to me possibly a way to proceed would be to authorize the general manager to proceed with his plan such that the policy could be divided across the fiscal year.
When is the stuff that's expiring, is that at the end of the calendar year?
The date is the same, January 19th. Basically, what's happening is all of our insurance is coming due, and the due date is January 19th. But the present provider is canceling two parts of it. So that's how.
Okay, and that cancellation is the 19th as well?
Exactly. Basically, okay. What they're doing is they're, for lack of a better term, is it's a refusal. It's a refusal to renew.
Okay.
In quote, real insurance terms.
Yeah.
So therefore, to try to get the best deal for the agency, I instructed the agent. I says, well, then don't just give renew all the policies except the one they're canceling. Try to find a provider that'll give us at least the same, if not better, coverage. You know, I have no intention of underinsuring the district or getting less coverage than we had last year or anything like that. But the economist in me says that sometimes if a person, especially, it's just like, to put it in lay person's terms, they're canceling your car insurance. Well, you can't drive without car insurance, but if you go to a different agent, you might want to try to package your car insurance, your homeowners, and so on and so forth to get a better package. And that has been my focus, and he knows. I sat him in my office and I beat him up. I talked to him on the telephone. I sent him emails, and today when we talked, he understands exactly. As a matter of fact, he has it in priority order. The first priority, one carrier, one bundle, the best price.
Okay.
Second priority, same coverage, two separate carriers.
Okay, so what is it that you are requesting before the end of the year and why?
What I would request from the board is the authority that I told the agent the 21st, but I would wait because that's the couple days before Christmas. But I didn't want to tell them that because then the longer they wait, then it gets too late. To give all the bids, and he says he has 4 to 6 people that he suspects are going to bid on it. And then the opportunity to review the bids and pick the best one, and the Monday after Christmas, call the agent, give him a check for at least, you know, the deposit so that we have coverage effective January 1st, and then move forward.
So you want the coverage, just, do you want to overlap coverage?
Well, in a way, yes, for 19 days. In a way, no. I just want to have better coverage and accounting practices. It makes no sense for 19 days to have a policy that expires that you have to prorate for 19 days. And eventually, it's my goal next year to bid it so that it comes due as the budget and the fiscal year so that our insurance will expire on June 30th, and we'll start the new policy July 1st. It's just, you know, good business practices.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Mary?
Can I ask that we get, well, I don't know about the rest of the board, but I would like a copy of the cancellation notice and the cover page, not the whole explanation, of our current policy. I just need the summary page.
I can give you a copy of the cancellation right away. The summary page I don't have because when I asked the agent, I asked for the entire policy. So I have the entire policy and I'm reviewing it. It's in my office. And I can give you the letter that I received that shows the cancellation, but just a summary page I don't have.
Okay.
I can get you one.
Just give me the cancellation. that, and then we'll work backwards.
I can get that right now if you like.
I'll wait till after the meeting. Thank you.
Okay, so what we're looking at is whether we're going to need to bring this back to a board meeting to approve who is chosen and, you know, what company and the coverage.
You know, the insurance industry is driven by premiums. So the best opportunity the district has to get effective, cost-effective coverage is to bid all the policies, the entire insurance benefit, as one package.
I do understand that. And what I'm asking is if the... I don't know what you call it.
Well, in most claims-based policies, whether it be errors and omissions, malpractice,
yeah,
liability, there's always that concern that, you know, with a claims-based policy, you have
They'll
to be covered both at the time the claim was made and at the time of the occurrence.
Right.
Obviously, if you jump around insurance companies, you can't do that. So most O&E, whatever liability insurance it is, will have a look-back period.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, without seeing these policies, I can't guarantee it, but I can imagine, I would bet that all of these proposals include a look-back period of so many years because we're a public enemy entity.
Freudian slip.
Bite my tongue. A public entity, we're subject to the California Tort Claims Act, so we don't really have to worry about going back 10 years.
But just recent
but
history.
But we'll have a look back period of a couple of years,
yeah,
is important.
So, being that stated, I would be okay with authorizing our GM to proceed based upon what he's discussed here, as long as...
And it's my intent... before I put the check in the mail, to call each board member and tell them exactly, you know, who the carrier is, the effective date would be January 1, and what the premium is, and to compare that premium to last year's.
Mm-hmm.
That was what the comment earlier, I phrased it incorrectly when I said poll the board. Well, we can't poll the board, but I can share the information with the board so that everyone knows exactly how much the check is for and who's getting it, and that was my intent.
And you might, excuse me.
Go ahead.
You might want to inform Mr. Seamus, too, and maybe do a tutorial on an umbrella versus a section. Because, you know what, that was unacceptable.
I didn't really understand what
I said. Alex Seamus led this board into believing that we had a section that was canceled because of Bill Bookout dragging this district through the mud, literally. Mm-hmm. And that, no, that wasn't the case, is that the entire policy was canceled.
Okay, are you asking for...
That staff get our legal counsel on the same page.
Okay.
So everybody's singing the same tune.
Okay.
It's not a portion of our insurance. It's our entire policy.
Okay. Staff understand what's being requested?
AKA they call an umbrella.
Okay. Staff understand what's being requested?
Yes.
Perfectly.
Okay. All right. So is there any objection to the general manager deciding the insurance company and the carrier and paying it and changing it to January 1? Okay, do we need, as a matter of procedure, do we need to give him that authority, or does he have that already?
I believe the GM has that authority already. That's,
yeah, I thought so, too.
That's the role of the GM.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was agendized.
For an amount on the order of like $50,000, I would probably feel more comfortable if we specifically authorized that.
There's nothing precluding you from doing that, so I...
And I shared that comment with the insurance agent today, that I told him that I knew that we wouldn't have coverage without a check. I says, but it's my intent to pay half of the premium. Then you have a check that matches the audit. You have a check that matches the bill. And you know exactly what you're paying for. You're paying half the year's coverage. And he was okay with that because the insurance
you won't get coverage if you don't pay something. They have to have a check. But I didn't want to make it difficult. I didn't want to sign up for payments. I want to scrutinize the five or six proposals that he has, pick the best coverage, the best price, and then whatever. Like I said, last year we paid 50, so I'm expecting to pay around 55. Whatever that figure is, if it's 50 or 55, take 25,000 or 27 and a half, send it, bind the coverage, and before I send the check, tell the board who's getting it and the amount. And the amount will be 50% of the premium.
Okay. Is direction to staff adequate, or would you like a motion and a vote, Jim?
I have direction.
Well, my only concern is I think the general manager can spend X amount of money without specific board authorization. Is that something like $5,000?
Okay. One other thing is once you've got insurance secured for January 1st, might want to officially cancel the other insurance, so maybe we'll get a little refund for those overlap dates. And,
I was going to wait. January 1st was a holiday, but my intent was to, on the 3rd, cancel everything. But, you know, that's too – it's premature to say that because I suspect that perhaps with the possibility that the existing insurance company would lose the entire package and not just the one that they're not willing to renew, they might revisit it. And if that's the case, then we would get a refund automatically. We would only need to cancel if we were changing carriers.
Okay. Well, whatever. Once you've got it insured for January 1, just, you know, that's however it works to be the best bet.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other comments on this before we go to a roll call vote? Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Oops.
President.
Director Lucy, sorry.
Yes.
President Dahl.
Yes. Okay, this is, takes us to item 16B, update regarding computer equipment.
Update on the computer equipment. I'll be brief because of the time. If you look at, I provided a page that was titled 16B, and basically the reason I provided the page was I wanted to share with the board, we have gone presently on a road trip and looked at a computer program at the Heritage Ranch. Gina and I, like the first week that I was here, had a presentation in this room, so I can't, you know, take any credit for this. It was done before I came, but we've just been continuing. And what I thought very interesting, and that's why I provided this board with 16B, was there's 42 places in California that have chosen recently to use this computer program that we're looking at. And of that, not one. If you look at the far column on the right, it lists previously the cover, the type of equipment that they had. Mm-hmm. And basically, computers are by generation. Well, I found it very interesting to see that everyone that has updated their computer equipment, the system that they replaced was at least one, if not two generations better than ours. So our system really needs work. I also would like to share that on that list of what they've replaced, there's some names are, you know, common, easy to see, QuickBooks, so forth, MOMS. But there's three that I would call your attention to that they were put together by the Harris Group. Harris is the second person as far as nationwide providing the type of stuff we need, utility billing, financial, quote, specific to government type computer systems. And the reason I say that is because Harris is the person that we're looking at's number one competition. So I thought that when they replace your competitor's product and people say good things about it, it's something that should be looked at. And then last but not least, just for time of... We talked earlier about we've printed 53 checks over here. Okay? And I have the sheet here, as I promised, with the corrected numbers. There's 13. What that means is that the efficiency of our computer is it makes 13 mistakes in 53 runs. We cannot, I repeat, we cannot afford not to replace our computer system, because when I came, I was quiet. I just kind of, you know, watched and paid attention. But the staff has to work so hard to cover the mistakes and to do stuff that to call it a dinosaur is a compliment. And last but not least, we presently have a new person on board, very pleased with her work, accounts payable person. At her previous employer, she would do the payroll for 62 people. And all the, you know, state recording, pay the fees, everything that needs to be done in payroll. It would take her less than a half a day. And I mean even paying the liabilities and doing absolutely everything. Well, here we have like 22 employees total. And...
dollars at a rate of, I believe it's $75 an hour.
That's correct.
To try to keep that thing baling wired together. Stunning to me.
Any public comment on this item? Okay. All right. Anything else anybody wants to add on the add to this? Questions? Okay. Item number 16C, update.
C, the update on the Tuckfield contract, thanks to the help of Alex and the Wallace person. We've come up with a new contract. At first, I didn't sign it right away because it didn't have a total cost not to exceed, but now it was all put together and I saw the total cost and it was in line with what I had heard earlier that was approved prior to me coming here. It was like they said it was a $30,000 contract. When I looked at the bottom line, it was like $29,500 some odd. So I signed it and we sent it forward. So we do have a contract. Any questions on?
Does that conclude the report?
No. On that item, yes, sir.
Okay. Any public comment? All right. Any questions?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Were we able to give Tuckfield the information he needed in the format he needed yet?
We're working on it, but I'm not sure. I think Gina knows, is it, isn't Ivan working on getting the information from the computer so that we can give it to him?
He had the data for the sanitation district, okay. And in reviewing that, they had some questions with the codes. So he's working with Steve Tanaka right now to make sure that the actual pages that he sends them are correct. It's all done in Access now, and it's mm-hmm. all on Excel. It's just manipulating it to cover the information they want specifically on the report.
So essentially, it's almost there.
Yeah.
I knew he was working on it, but Gina had talked to him after I did. That's why I deferred.
Yeah. We just have to go through a couple more 10-inch floppies.
Any more questions or comments?
Okay, moving on to item number 16D.
16D, last but not least of my report, I was asked by a board member to look into the outstanding balance with our legal counsel, and I spoke with them today, and they explained to me that the outstanding amount is $52,500, and I would say that that's at a reduced rate because there was a question as to when the work was done, at what hourly rate it should be, and this figure is at the lower rate rather than the higher one. So when I was asked to find out how much it was, I was also asked to make a recommendation to the board that we could pay this before the end of the year and, quote, the money in the budget is there. So my recommendation would be that we take the $52,500 and we start in January and make equal payments for January, February, and March of $17,500, which is, you know, just simple math, one-third of the premium, so that by April 1st, our balance would be zero. And the legal counsel also shared with me that it would be better not to, you know, pay it all at once so that, like, for example, in this month we're going to have less meetings. If there's going to be less billing, there'll still be a window to make adjustments. And that would be my recommendation, to eliminate the balance by April 1st, that we make three equal installments starting January, February, and March. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Any public comment? Okay, back to the board. Any questions, comments, discussion?
I believe I'm the one that requested the general manager to follow up on this. And my concern, again, is that on at the end of this fiscal year, which is June 30th, the fire department joins the Joint Powers Authority with the cities of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach, that the funding for this item, which is past incurred fees that pertains to the fire department as well as all of our other business units, may not be available to cover this funding, and that's why I wanted to see this paid down in a reasonable amount of time such that it was paid before the end of the fiscal year.
Anyone else?
Can I add something to the board?
Sure.
I prepared a memorandum, which is confidential. It's covered under, I believe, to be under attorney-client privilege. I was not able to get it to the general manager until late today. He does have it, obviously not in time.
It's great down in the past.
This is not a new bill. I think we've already received the itemized billings, because it's work that's been done in the past and was billed previously.
Okay, so just pull out the last one and then go from that date forward. Itemization.
Okay. So that concludes item 16D. Moving on to item number 17, board member items for discussion. Director Lucy, you want to start?
I just would hope with as a new president, that we try to be consistent in our policies and procedures, and that we kind of stick to what our rules are. For example, expenditures. The attorney expenditures, for one, is that, you know, and I don't want to keep feeding a dead horse, but we spent an exorbitant amount of money on codification, and it never came to the board for approval. And in our rules, and I'm not going to sit here and quote which rule or whatever, but it does say that up to a certain point you have to come to the board for approval. And so to spend that much money in areas that hadn't been approved, I just think it goes against the policies, and I'd like to see us follow the rules.
Okay, anything else?
Nothing.
Director Hill?
I'd just like to wish everyone happy holidays, and we'll see you back next year.
Director Dean?
I don't want to put Brian on the spot, but I thought he knew something about Santa Claus coming to Oceano.
I knew I stayed for a reason. I did. I got a text from him today. He should be here. He's going to take a break from cold weather at the beach. And it should be on the 19th is when he's predicting to be here. And he's just going to be cruising throughout the neighborhoods and possibly getting out some candy canes and all that kind of stuff. Not going to be here at the district.
Morning. 10 to 2? 9 to 12?
Possibly, depending on how busy he is. Late morning, early afternoon on Saturday the 19th. That's what it is.
Watch for Santa Claus. Saturday the 19th. Okay, we will do that.
So you're going to have a red truck escort?
You will have a red truck escort, yes.
Outstanding.
So late morning or late afternoon?
Late morning, early afternoon, yeah.
Okay. Late morning or early.
11 and 1 this year.
Yeah. That's not what we're going to do it this year.
Window around those times.
Thank you.
James.
Okay.
My grandson loves that.
All right. Yeah. So, all right. Well, thank you, everyone. And I want to thank Barbara one last time for her continued many years of service to the district. I also want to let everybody know to please give me or turn into the general manager your request for committee assignments. And that's all I have to say. Moving on to item number 18, public comment. Okay, hearing none. Written communications?
None, sir.
No written communications. Okay, we are adjourned. 10:45.